Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hey, happy Monday.
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going.
611, welcome to the program. This is show number 1077 at Cochran Show on Twitter, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. Free Billy Joel tickets today. That's pretty good. We're going to play the Billy Joel game, which is basically several of my favorite Billy Joel songs.
Oh, good.
And what I'll do is I'll take lyrics, like a piece of a lyric from those songs, and you'll have to identify the song. Not you, the listeners. You guys can't win.
Yeah. Oh,
darn. Around the room. Let's start upstairs for a change. Hi, Mary Vandeville.
Good morning. How's it going?
Got a little snow coming. Is that an issue?
Yeah. Not yet. I think it's pretty light as of yet. Was it snowing on your way in?
Yeah, a little bit. Not much.
Oh, it's not too bad here. Did you watch the Grammys?
Every bit of it.
The whole thing?
Loved it.
Wow. Good for you. I didn't make it.
Well, first, 45 minutes or so, I was popping back and forth to the golf tournament.
Oh, you have to.
Let's go live to San Diego now, where Andy Mazur is standing by a four-hole playoff that they couldn't finish because it got dark.
It got dark, and around 10 o'clock this morning, they'll get back at it at Torrey Pines.
And still left in the field, who is playing off?
Still playing off, Jason Day.
Jason Day. We like Jason Day.
Jason
Very
Day
strong, young Aussie.
Yeah, the former number one player in the world, of course.
Yes.
And Alex Noren.
Yes,
He plays his golf at Oklahoma State. He is a European,
yeah,
but he
European
played
guy.
His game there. Yeah.
And he's never won on the American tour. Steve Grzanich, how are you?
Good morning. How are you? I'm doing well.
Fine.
Doing great.
Doing fine.
Happy Monday.
Joe's here. Joe, how you doing?
I'm great.
All right, Joe. Thanks.
Yeah,
Joe forgot
where my mic button was.
Joe bought me a water.
And a nice water at that.
It's totally
expensive water. Smart water.
Did you pay him back?
Well, I haven't had a chance yet. I just got here.
Joe, were you
20 minutes
up?
Ago.
What's going on?
2 minutes ago. Sandberg, how you doing? Oh, she's kind of good.
She's also good.
She got issues? She have issues?
She had a busy weekend.
Yeah. What? Huh? Andy Mazur's here for Dave Ennett. Does Dave work here anymore?
Dave will be working here once again on Wednesday and Thursday of this week.
And then he's
going to disappear again on Friday.
Dave who?
What kind of schedule is that? Joe, why aren't you in charge of Dave?
he fired me, actually. So.
Okay. So, Andy, nice to see you.
Good to see you as well.
And have you ever had the full beard before?
Probably not when you've seen it. I had it out in San Diego for a little bit.
Yeah.
But bringing it back by popular demand.
Very millennial.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I'm trying to feel younger and look younger despite this gray right here on my chin.
I didn't notice. Audrey Dallas, how are you?
I'm good. And guess what I did yesterday?
I don't know.
I took a day off.
No, you didn't work.
I didn't work
on Sunday?
I know. We did the Husky Heroes on Saturday at the Morton Arboretum, which with the sled dogs, which was super cool.
I'm sure, it was fun. But let's talk about your day off. What was your day off?
It was weird. I got anxiety. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I cooked.
Maybe you should work 7 days a week.
I watched Taken. No, I didn't know what to do. I watched nasty, you know,
I can't imagine why you had anxiety watching Taken.
Oh, I know. But it's not even that good. Do you watch it? Not taking Liam Neeson, taking the series with Jennifer Beals and Clive.
Why are you watching that?
No.
I had to binge something.
Yeah, I guess.
I was trying to chill. I was trying to lay low. I was trying to not get in the car yesterday.
It's something, you know, lighter than that for you, maybe.
Yeah, I know. I like those kind of shows.
Well, Sandberg, why are you iffy?
Well, we had the kids this weekend, and there was a lot going on, and, you know, you have to get them up and ready every day, and it's exhausting.
And can they dress themselves by this point?
They need to be policed.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Not your stepdaughter.
They're older.
She won't get out of the bed.
Well, yeah, but I mean, she'll pick her own clothes, huh?
Well, yeah, but
your knucklehead stepson's only 10. You know, he put a rain boot on his head if you're not watching him.
I know. Have him spend a week with me.
But it's
a
15-minute process to make sure she leaves the bed. That's the, if you leave her to herself, she'll go right to bed. I woke her up at 10 on Saturday, and then I went back in at 10:45, dead asleep.
You remember when you could sleep like that?
Remember those days?
Those were the days.
Now, like,
but I mean, you could sleep 12 hours.
Oh, totally.
Easily.
Now sleeping till 7 is a treat.
I know.
I woke up at 2 this morning.
Yeah. Did you go back to bed?
Oh, I was awake. I did not. So I'm cranky, too. Oh, I hope we don't fight.
Oh, I didn't say I was cranky.
Oh, I'm cranky.
I mean, I am, but I didn't say so.
It's like the yin and the yang. You'll be cranky, he won't.
Okay. Maybe I'll out-cranky him.
Yeah.
Well, let's see, of course.
Sorry.
Anyway, glad you guys are all here, and thanks for listening. And thanks for supporting the program here. Send your checks to the show. And don't forget to date them 2018. Dr. Kevin Most later. Mike Ditka later. You might be familiar with his work. Dean Richards later. Obviously, a lot of Grammys. You brought up the Grammys. I thought the show was great.
I thought it was good, too.
It was good.
But I didn't watch the whole
thing. I thought it was great.
I thought it was very good, but I didn't watch in its entirety like you did.
And cable news is trying to gin up some controversy this morning that it was too political. They're musicians.
Oh, my God.
Of course they're dramatic.
Right.
And music's always been political.
Listen to the music.
Yeah, exactly. I just don't get Kendrick Lamar. Does anyone not get him?
Well, you're white and you won't leave your house. Why would you
good.
Get Kendrick Lamar?
I don't get him. I understand when he's talking, he seems cool, but I don't get the music.
Mary, you're showing your age.
I know.
Totally.
It was awful.
It's
I started
not for
the show
you.
And I'm like, really?
Yeah, no,
if it's going to be like
you.
This the whole show.
When you start getting, because I'm kind of getting to this point too where I don't know, you know, obviously when we're younger, you know all the music and the bands and the songs. And now I'm to a point, I'm like, wait, who is that? And then I hear a little bit of the song. I'm going, oh,
then you get it.
Yeah.
It was not a show necessarily for white people. Like, you white people, you're not familiar with the rap and the hip-hop culture.
Come on, there was Sting and U2.
You need to school us.
Yeah, Sting was every. Was
well,
he
it's
not
funny,
on
it's
the
like
whole
the,
show?
The second half of the show, it was like an Oreo. The first half was hip-hop and rap. The second half was white. It's like there was a split in the middle.
Yeah, the Elton John thing, you know, it was like, okay, that was cool.
That was cool.
The Miley
okay,
Cyrus.
What was the Elton John thing?
Miley Cyrus. Did
Tiny Dancer.
Tiny Dancer with him.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
That was cool. And Bruno Mars won everything, and he should have, because he's Bruno Mars.
He's the best.
At one point, they just brought Grammys to his chair.
I know, right?
They said, you don't even have to get up anymore.
I do get Bruno Mars. I completely understand him.
He's great.
I love him.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Man.
We talked about it briefly, but Bruno Mars won 6 Grammys. 6. And all 6 he was nominated for, including the top prizes of Best Album, Best Record, and Song of the Year. Album, record are two different things. One's a songwriter's award. And he was great, and he had his fabulous fro going. And, you know, when you're Bruno Mars, you can wear sweatpants to a formal occasion. Yeah. Sweatpants and, like, a hoodie. And look cool doing it. Essentially, Bruno Mars is... here's the math for you. Like math? Here's the math.
Not a fan, but
well, here's the math. If you take Prince, I don't have a chalkboard here. Prince plus James Brown plus Bruno Mars equals Bruno Mars.
I agree. It's a good call.
That's a
so
good
you got
one,
Prince,
yeah.
James Brown, and who Bruno and is Mars. Turns into Bruno Mars.
True.
Dances his little tiny butt off.
His dancing is phenomenal.
He's ridiculous.
Just watch him all day.
Just ridiculous. Oh, next.
Oh, I like it.
That might be the winner. That's pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good. Item number 2, the serial stowaway. Back at it. Arrested at O'Hare days after a judge banned her from the airport. How old is this woman?
Marilyn Hartman is 66 years old.
She has done this constantly for years. Mm-hmm. She did it in California. She does it mostly here. We don't know how she gets on the plane. She continues to do it. What do we make of this?
She obviously, she should receive some sort of mental evaluation.
She must have had that by
now, right?
Mental
health. Not as far as we know.
Well, that's crazy.
She was arrested 2 times, 3 days ago. Now, 4 days ago it would be. She snuck onto a flight. Now, she snuck onto a flight, onto a plane.
Right.
She got past TSA. She got past security. She got on the plane, and they found her in London. Now, 3 days later, she's arrested. She goes to court. The judge says, stay away from O'Hare or you will go to jail. They found her 3 days later in Terminal 3. Now, she didn't get through security at this point, but nonetheless, she was at the airport. So now she was on electronic monitoring. She originally was detained. She was charged with misdemeanor trespassing, one felony count of theft. She left jail last week after the judge reduced her bond. So now, right now, she is in jail.
So she's had no court-mandated mental health evaluation that we're aware of?
Not for these incidents. Now, she's spent some time in mental institutions in the past.
She have a family?
Years ago. It doesn't say anything about her family. I think all of this, though, Steve, she obviously needs the help that she needs to receive to stay away from O'Hare.
You know what? This getting on planes.
Here's my take of this whole story. This shows gaping flaws in our security system, how a 66-year-old woman is getting on a plane. You see the security we go through. You go through two different security checkpoints. Yeah. They check your boarding pass 15 times.
I think one of the solutions to this is the TSA should hire her as a secret shopper.
I completely agree,
and
Steve.
And try to break into airports.
Do you think she's working for the TSA? No. Movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, Catch Me If You Can?
And the government
actually hired him because he was such a counterfeit expert.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I thought, hire her and point out the gaping flaws. That's the story.
And nobody's talking about it, right?
I haven't heard of...
What's her name again?
Marilyn Hartman.
I mean, I have to take off all of my clothes every time I go through...
That's why I don't fly, Steve, because you're naked at the airport.
Avoid that.
Next. No, it's the last one. Yeah, it's still the last one. Governor Rauner, as you said, and Jeannie Ives are going to sit down with the editorial board later today. He is about 79, 80, 128 points ahead of her.
Oh, I thought you were going to say years old.
No. But it's something that needs to be done on the Republican side of things, too.
Pay attention, too, because this probably will be the last time you see them together. They don't have any debate scheduled.
I suppose if I was Rauner, I'd do that, even though I think it's always lame when the candidates don't debate. Next. No, it's still the first one.
Bouncy ball.
Yeah. The U.S. is expected to surpass Saudi Arabia and to rival Russia as the world's leading oil producer this year. Let that sink in for a second. We are producing more oil than Saudi Arabia.
Or we will
by the end of the year.
That's a good thing, I think.
So when we get these spikes in the summertime prior to Labor Day and in the fall around holiday time, it's hard not to ask what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the mandatory annual, we have a refinery problem in Indiana. but that's an amazing thing, that we are producing more oil than Saudi Arabia and Russia. And, by the way, that doesn't even take into account the fact that the rules have been changed and we could drill in Alaska in places we hadn't been able to drill before. So gas prices should be... Actually, they should pay us to take the gas soon.
I'm fine with that.
Every time you pull in, somebody gives you $20 and fills your tank.
I'll sign up for that.
Do you ever get gas at Costco?
Yeah.
The lines are just... Oh, my gosh.
Down
it reminds
the street.
Me of, like, you know, the 72
oil crisis. What's funny about that is, at some point, what's your time worth?
Exactly, yeah.
Because you're saving a couple of cents a gallon. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've got... The average car's probably got, what, a 20-gallon tank? I don't even know. Yeah. So you're saving 40, 50 cents a tank, but you're sitting there for 20 minutes.
True. I've thought about that while sitting there.
Next. No, it's still a first one. Panera, this isn't good. This just in. Panera Bread is recalling their cream cheese. There's a sentence you won't hear every day.
Uh-oh.
Panera Bread recalling cream cheese products for fear of listeria contamination. I have Panera Bread cream cheese in my refrigerator.
Yeah, I would throw it out.
Throw it out.
They said they're issuing a voluntary recall out of an abundance of caution.
Right. All the 2-ounce and 8-ounce cream cheese products with an expiration date on or before April 2nd, 2018.
Well, that's wild.
Throw it out.
I'm pretty sure I ate it a few days ago. I don't seem like I'm sick.
Well.
Oh, wait. I'm starting to feel
not
funny.
To us.
Are you listing?
I'm just a little. Is the room spinning? Next. Okay.
That's funny.
Very funny, but it would be distracting if we used it every day.
Is this the 20s?
I think it's the first one. It's the first, keep the first one in the running going forward. That's the one. I'm not saying we don't have more, but keep that one in the running. And finally this. Yesterday was the 32nd anniversary of the day we lost the Space Shuttle Challenger crew. Think about that. 1986. I was on the radio in Baltimore. You know, I was 4 years old?
Mm-hmm.
And that morning, as kids all over the country gathered to watch the first teacher in space, they instead saw it blow up.
Right. That's what we did. That's where we were in school. And they would wheel in the television sets on those
the
big,
AV
tall...
Club.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we watched it and then watched it blow up. And then I just remember all the teachers were crying.
That was awful. Just absolutely awful. And of course, we found out it was an O-ring problem, a seal that wasn't properly taken care of, manufactured, or in place. And it took a long time for the space shuttle to be back online. And then we had the second tragedy in 2005, maybe? 2004?
2003?
The Columbia?
I thought three.
Was it three or four?
Yeah, it was this, I want to say it's in a couple of days. The anniversary is in a couple of days in 2003.
So it's amazing the amount of power and technology that we threw into outer space. And we only had two, but those are both highly, that's terribly tragic things. And one of the great presidential speeches of all time, the night that the Challenger was destroyed, was supposed to be the State of the Union address, and Ronald Reagan stepped up to say some pretty fateful words that we're going to play back, at least a clip of that for you later on.
You know, there's a happy part of this story. Believe it or not, Krista McAuliffe, the teacher in space, her lessons were never taught over these last 30-some years in space. The plans that she was going to do in space with kids on the ground. And so NASA astronauts are finally going to start doing those lesson plans this year
cool.
with students.
Yeah, that's very cool. Very cool. From the space station.
From the space station.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Billy Joel tickets after 7. Get ready to play the Billy Joel game. Stand by for that. First, let's take a break. Come back, and Andrea has your headlines next.
Woke up after midnight. Both my arms and legs were sore.
This is the music of John DeCoste. He'll be in tomorrow.
On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before.
I think we have details on how you can win the John DeCoste song contest.
And I wish that there was someone I could call.
I'll bring it up to him again tomorrow, but basically you can get a Valentine's Day song that John will write just for you and your main squeeze.
I have a edema on my thighs, pink stuff in my eyes, and I need you now.
Good morning, Dr. Kevin Most.
I've got a stomach.
Good morning, Steve.
How was your weekend?
Hey, you know what? I didn't stay up for the Grammys. Did we win a Grammy? Did John win that with our song?
John did not win a Grammy. He was nominated in 14 categories and lost in all of them. Shocker.
I thought this was going to be our year.
I thought it was, too. It was quite a shock.
We can nominate this segment next year for Spoken Word.
We could, but it's not Spoken Word, though. True. Nominate this segment.
This segment.
Oh, no, he's talking music. This segment? I don't know, Doc. Just because Larry Wirt loves this segment and he runs this company. How are you, by the way?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. A couple things in the news from last week we want to talk about, and then Andy Mazur has a question for you.
Yeah.
Legionnaire's disease is back in the news. Now, this is not, if you're not familiar with Legionnaire's disease, this is not a condition that makes you stop at a local pub with other members of the American Legion, eat fried chicken, and drink beer. That's not Legionnaire's disease, right, Doc?
Correct. Yep. That's another Legionnaire's issue.
That's a Legionnaire syndrome.
Right.
Is this the thing Governor Rauner stayed at the Veterans Home over?
Yeah. So, you know, Governor Rauner went to the Veterans Home and stayed for a week. And it was the same Veterans Home that a couple years ago they had an outbreak of Legionnaires where they ended up with 13 veterans dying from the disease. So, you know, he went there to make sure to say, hey, you know what, we acted on this appropriately and we've corrected everything and we've cleaned this place up. But it just highlights again the incidence of this disease and want to make sure everyone is at least aware of it.
Can you clean up, though, Doc? I mean, because when this kept happening and then Governor Rauner said, I'm going to check into this building, and then people were saying, we'll just tear it down and start from square one. Can you clean it up and then it's gone?
Yeah, it's actually interesting. When you look at Legionnaires, we've seen outbreaks of this around the world. And what it always comes down to, it's collections of water where the bacteria are allowed to multiply and then get aerosolized. So if you can get rid of that standing water around, you know, cooling areas, air conditioners, heaters, humidifiers, that's where the bacteria sits and is then given a chance to get in the aerosol. Because this is a bacteria, you can have a glass of water and it can have Legionnaires in it. You can drink the whole thing and not get sick at all. It's only when it gets aerosolized and it's brought into your lungs do you end up with disease.
How long does it last, if it's not cleaned up? Can it live for a while?
It can. It definitely can live in these contained water areas for quite some time. So the importance is for your maintenance people to look for this collection of water and make sure that it's not there. You know, you get that little dripping off the air conditioner at times. Make sure that it's not pooling anywhere. The humidifiers, really, at this time of the year, a lot of people have humidifiers because the air is so dry. You really don't want to have those when you're using a water source that could have Legionnaires in it.
What is this importance of a pencil-sized stream of water that I heard when you wash your hands?
Right. So even after this, what happened after Rauner was there, they happened to have a broken pipe in the Capitol building. They did testing and found that they had Legionella bacteria there as well. So they told everybody, okay, turn off all your humidifiers, and when you wash your hands, use a pencil-size stream of water. The reason for that is not to aerosolize the bacteria. So you just can't turn it on. So the water's coming out, but it's like splashing up. They took all the little aerosolizers off of that because that's how it happens. The bacteria gets in the air. So as long as it's not, as long as the water is not being rushed and pushed up into the air, you have no chance of getting the disease.
But you can't get it from drinking the water.
Nope, can't get it from drinking the water. It's kind of an unusual bacteria. Can't get it from drinking the water, and you're not contagious when you have it. So someone that has it is not coughing this bacteria up. So it's a little bit of a weird one, and you have to remember, we've only known about this bacteria for a very short period of time. This was in 1976 when this Philadelphia hotel where they had the American Legion conference going, where close to 200 people came down with it, and 30 people died. So it was it's a nasty bug, and fortunately now we have new antibiotics that we can actually treat this.
Before we get to the other news topical topic, Andy, what was your question?
Yeah, Doc, I have some friends that are kind of swearing by these brand new, or I don't know how new they are, but these IV clinics where you can kind of go in and if you have a hangover or if you're not feeling well, they can get you rehydrated, put vitamins and minerals. How safe are those? And I mean, do you recommend those kind of things?
Yeah, Andy, it's a great question because they're very popular right now. So for the most part, the IV clinics that are the cure for a hangover actually work pretty well because the biggest part of hangovers after taking in too much alcohol is dehydration and, again, losing some of your electrolytes. So what they're doing is they're putting the fluids back into you and filling it up quickly. So actually, for a cure for a hangover, it's probably not a bad idea. And for the age group that we're talking about, they can handle a liter of fluids. They can handle a liter and a half of fluids. You don't want to use this in someone who's elderly, who's a little bit older, whose heart can't take that additional volume at that time, and you end up putting them into what we call congestive heart failure. But for these young people, it's probably better to limit your alcohol intake. But those of you who have and say, gosh, I have to feel better because I have to do X, Y, or Z, They're. I guess I can't say that they're bad because they actually do exactly what we want them to
do. Well, I've seen them at golf tournaments, too. Like, yeah. If you're outside, in a hot day and you're playing 36 holes of golf in between, you can be hooked up to an IV and rehydrated.
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody who's going to get dehydrated, it's obviously the biggest thing is to say, okay, we'll take fluids and drink it in. Well, only so much is absorbed, but when we put the IV into you, we're putting it obviously right back into your bloodstream, and it's actually filling your tank back up at that time.
But these clinics that Andy's talking about, are they regulated?
They're somewhat regulated. You have to have a doctor's order in order to get it so that there's at least a physician who's writing the order. Now, how much that they are actually, taking electronic medical record, doing all the work, doing any safety checks, I really don't know that much behind them. But I can tell you that they are popular and unfortunately probably getting more popular, which again says something about our alcohol intake and how we need to control that versus saying, oh, I can do whatever I want because tomorrow I'm going to have my cure.
What do you think it is, Andrea, about that seat that, Andy's sitting in its chair now? And
I know.
There's always a booze-related question that comes out of that.
And when he initially said, I'm going to have to talk about these IV, I thought from a medical standpoint, I did not even think from a hangover standpoint.
A little bit of both,
Shocking. Yeah. Doc, we'll talk concussions in Super Bowl week here when we come back. Stand by for that. Back to Dr. Kevin Most. All right, Doc, so it's Super Bowl week. Who you got? Might help if I put him on the air. Doc, it's Super Bowl week. Who you got? Why am I not hearing? Oh, hold on, Doc. Doc, there's two buttons I have to mash for you to get on the air. So it took all of my technology knowledge to make it work. Are you with me now?
Now I'm with you, and you've asked me three times, and I flip-flop my changes.
Okay, so who you got?
I'm going with New England. You have to. You know, it's as much as you'd like to see them lose, there's a pretty good chance that they're going to win.
That's it. Don't you think you could? Tom Brady could get his head cut off, and he'd still find a way to win.
Yeah, I mean, he's
it's ridiculous.
It's amazing how they've come back in some very cool games, and it's made them somewhat exciting. So I just hope it's a good game.
All right, just the other day, we were on the air talking about this concussion bill that was coming up that would say kids 12 and under could no longer play tackle football in the state of Illinois. Where is the medical field on this?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, there's a lot of people that are very concerned, obviously, about concussions and everything that we're learning about them right now. I think if you polled the entire medical field, I bet you it's going to be 80-20, 80% saying, you know what, it's probably not a great idea. Let's not damage these young kids' brains early on because we really don't know what's going to happen with these kids that are hit at 5, 6, 7, 8 years old and long-term effect of it. But we know that there's something called the dose-response relationship, and that's just a very simple way to describe something that says the more times an incident occurs, the higher likelihood of the response occurring. So that's what they're looking at right now.
And this bill, should it go forward, would allow kids to play at the age of 12 and older. Why is 12 and older better?
Well, I think what they're trying to do is just push it off until the kid gets into close to high school. If I asked you what Tom Brady, Walter Payton, Lawrence Taylor, and Jerry Rice all had in common, do you know what it is?
They all played football.
They didn't play football until they were in high school.
Is that true?
Yep.
That's true. I didn't know that.
So none of them played youth football. So I think what they're looking at, and we've had a couple of studies that have shown that these kids that are playing youth football in the ages of like 8 to 10 have had brain changes within that year. Now, we don't know whether those are going to be long-term, whether they resolve, but that's one study that's going on right now.
For more information on this, where do you send them other than to your fine notes, which we post after every time you're on the air?
You know, if you just go to the CDC and look up CTE, but then also, you know, Boston has a big CTE clinic. That's where a lot of these players right now that have died are donating their brains. So there's a lot out there for it. Now, you're going to have a lot of people on both ends. You're going to have a lot. It'll be interesting when you talk to Coach Ditka today and to see what he feels. But you're going to have a lot of people that say, hey, we need these kids in organized sports. They learn a lot. They learn about teamwork. They learn about camaraderie. They learn about discipline. And if we don't have that, what are we going to do? But I also look at it and say, let's at least try to make the game safer for them. Let's have better equipment. When you look at these youth football kids, you've seen them, right?
Yeah.
Their helmets barely fit them. You know, it's like, wait a second.
Well, it's cute until it's not, because they're little people. They're little tiny people with giant heads because they have these giant helmets on. So it's the Dave Durison Act. Is that what it's called?
Yep.
So you can also Google that.
Doc, for parents who, though, insist on having their kids start young, what else can they do besides have these overprotective helmets? I mean, they're probably too young to educate them on the dangers of being concussed, but what else can parents do?
Yep, I guess probably one of the big things parents can do is watch their child when they play and watch them very closely, because unfortunately we don't have physicians on the sideline for these youth football games in many cases. So you have to look at that kid after a hit. Is he getting up and is he wobbling a little bit, and getting him off and having someone check him? Wearing the right equipment, wearing a mouth guard, some of these things are at least going to at least minimize the chance or lower the chance. But the biggest thing is identifying it, because the worst thing that can happen is a concussion on top of a second concussion. Mm-hmm. That's why we now have concussion protocols that keep these kids out and keep adults out as well until that concussion is totally resolved.
I suppose it's like if you had a bruise on your arm and then you said to someone when it's really, really sore, punch me again in the exact same spot.
Exactly. You know, you already have done damage to that area, and now you don't want to do damage on top of it.
Last question, Andy.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, to kind of piggyback along with that, it really comes down to coaching as far as football is concerned, because you're taught to keep your head up, you know, and not use the crown of your helmet when you're playing football.
This is my pet peeve about all of football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody tackles anymore. Yeah. Everyone's a human missile.
Yeah, they got to launch with their helmet and lead with their helmet. It's a penalty, first of all, and it's unsafe.
Yeah, it's stupid. That's what cost the New Orleans Saints the game against the Vikings. Doc, nice work by you as always, but I'd expect nothing less. And we thank our friends at Northwestern Medicine. What's the day today at Northwestern Medicine? Just going to go out and save a few more lives?
Yeah, today we just turned on our new electronic medical record this past weekend. So today will be a day just to make sure that all the docs have all their stuffs and ready to go. So
I bet you're a popular guy today. Doc's job, by the way, for you guys that don't know, he manages all the doctors. It's part of his job. So part of his job is to listen to the doctors whine when something gets changed. I bet that's going to be fun for you today.
Well, I'm going to lock my door and actually, you know. No, hey, we have a great group of docs here, 1,200 docs on staff at CDH, and I can tell you that they won't complain. They're going to say, hey, we're going to get through this, and it'll be fine.
Oh, look, of course they'll complain. But if they do complain, it doesn't mean you're not going to do it. You're going to do it at the highest level. That's how you guys got to where you are.
Absolutely. We got a great group of docs out here.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Dr. Kevin Mills, talk to you later.
You take care.
All right, news next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Sure, you got a chance to go to Vegas with us, but how about Billy Joel tickets? A pair of tickets to see Billy Joel at Wrigley on September 7th. If you want to play the Billy Joel game, which essentially is the Steve Cochran's favorite Billy Joel songs game.
Ah, nice.
Okay. A pair of tickets to see Billy Joel at Wrigley on September 7th, fifth consecutive year of sellouts. And tickets are on sale today at 10 a.m., but you can win a pair now. We need two people. If you think you're a Billy Joel expert, if you sing Billy Joel songs in your car to the point where you embarrass yourself at red lights, if you know all the words, because I'm going to give you a piece of lyric from a song, and then you're going to have to identify the song.
And sing the song.
No. No singing.
Did they just have to identify
it? Yes, exactly. No singing. We'll play three rounds. Okay. High score wins, and we have a tiebreaker as well, if needed. But we need two callers who really believe they are Billy Joel experts. Again, three rounds, high score wins. And I will say this, if at any point they are stumbling or not sure, they can go to you and Andy for help.
Okay, yeah, cool. Perfect, okay. Perfect. Quick question, though. Did you make this hard? You know, you didn't say...
I'm glad you asked that.
You didn't say, here's the lyric, one, two, three, four, pressure.
No. I'm glad you asked that, because there are three rounds.
Okay.
Three rounds. And in those three rounds, we have easy, medium, and hard.
Okay, cool. Good. Okay. That'll work out good.
So we have two callers standing by. Let's meet them, and if we have time, we'll start the game. Good morning, Fran. How are you?
I'm fine, Steve. How are you?
Doing fine. What makes you a Billy Joel expert, Fran?
Well, let's see. For the last 4 years that he was playing there, I was standing outside Wrigley Field listening to the show.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That cheap seats.
Tickets, so I would just stand outside.
And if you win these tickets, who will you take?
I don't know. It'll be a toss-up between my husband and my son.
What about me? Why can't you take me?
Well, both of those are Steve's also, so technically I would be taking you.
So it's kind of like me going anyway.
Exactly.
Wow, that's cool.
All right, hold the line. Hold the line. I like your chances. Let's go to Stuart. Hey, Stuart, how you doing?
Good, Mr. Cochran. Nice to finally speak to you.
Nice to talk to you. I appreciate you listening. Now, how are you going to out Billy Joel, our friend Fran there?
Well, I think I might have her on age. I've been listening to him since the mid-70s, and I've been to a couple concerts back in the 80s. I haven't seen him recently, but I still follow him. Not in a a weird sort of way.
Not in a stalker kind of a way.
You're not a stalker. All right.
I like still listen to him.
I like your chances. Stand by again, Fran and Stuart. As you're listening, I will give you first round, second round, and third round chunks of lyrics. I'll read you a lyric line.
Cool.
And then one by one, you have to identify the songs. You can go to Andy. By the way, Andy used to be a disc jockey.
Yep.
He knows this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or Andrea, or both of them, for help if you think you need it. But the high score wins at the end of the game, and we have a tiebreaker as well. Billy Joel tickets, and we have consolation puppies for whoever finishes second.
No, wrong show.
Oh, that was
they said that Grammys. Last night.
Oh, no, I thought that was show. Here. Sorry. My mistake.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show. on 720 WGN.
All right, Billy Joel tickets. Who is this?
Billy Idol. Well, not Billy Idol?
It's a Billy. Maybe we could just do the Billy game.
Yeah.
We start with Fran. All right, Fran, you understand how to play the game. I'm going to give you a lyric line. You have to identify the song. If you need help, ask Andy or Andrea.
Okay.
Here is the first lyric line from the easy category. Now, John at the bar is a friend of mine, and he gets
piano
me
man.
My... What? What? What?
Piano man.
Is it Piano Man?
It's 9 o'clock on a Saturday.
Sounds like it to me. Yeah, I think you're
a regular crowd.
Yeah, there you go. All right, stand by. Fran's the leader in the clubhouse with a point. Stuart, are you ready?
I'm ready, sir.
Stuart from the easy category. They got an apartment with deep pile carpet and a couple of paintings from Sears.
Scenes from an Italian restaurant with the little story of Brenda and Eddie in the middle.
Could that be right?
A bottle of red, a bottle of white.
Greatest song ever. That's all this is.
It all depends upon your appetite.
All right, we have a vicious competition going. It's 1-1 as we head into round two. Fran, this would be the medium difficult category. Mediumly. It's mediumly difficult.
Okay.
I hope you're not an English teacher. Get a little harder here. Here's the lyric line. I give you one hit, honey. You sure did put on a show.
Big Shot.
I don't. Is it a pop? Yes.
Because you had to be a big shot, did you? You had to open up your mouth. You had to be a big shot, did you?
That's Fran, good, Fran.
Fran, you're just cruising, aren't you? Look at you, you little show-off. Stand by, and let's go over here to Stuart. All right, Stuart, this is for the tie.
There you go.
This is for the tie. Stand by, Stuart. Tension is building. Some lie is just a lust. Oh, I'm sorry, let me go back to this. Mistake by me. Some love is just a lie of the soul, a constant battle for the ultimate state of control.
Oh.
Okay, yeah, I can hear the songs.
One more time. Some love is just a lie of the soul, a constant battle for the ultimate state of control.
Mm-hmm. Matter of trust.
Is it a matter of trust?
But that can't happen to us.
You guys are good, man. On the Steve Cochran Show, all-time top 10 Billy Joel songs. That's definitely top five.
Wow, these guys are good. I'm so glad Andy and I can be of such help
to
them.
We may have to go. We may want to get warm up the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
All right, stand by, Stuart. It is 2-2. Let's go to Fran. Fran, now the hard category, Fran. Do you feel like you're ready?
Yes.
Here is your lyric line. I'm warm from the memories of days to come. I'm warm from the memories of days to come.
Ooh. Andy, help me.
Andre.
I'm kind of stumped on that one myself there. What's the line again?
I'm warm from the memories of days to come. Well, there's some ciphering going on here in studio right now.
Andre?
Andy, honest to God, I was going to say Only the Good Die Young, but
no.
I kind of know it, but...
Do you know the answer?
I can hear it in my head. I can hear it.
I think so.
Well, you can help.
Well, go ahead, Mary.
Can I blurt it out?
Yeah.
Oh, this is the time?
Well, I mean, if she wants to go with that answer, Fred?
Yeah.
You think it's this?
Yeah.
Okay.
But time is gonna change.
Whoa! Oh. Mary with the save.
Oh, I saw Billy last year.
Vandeveld from the seventh floor. Unbelievable,
you can take
Fran.
Me, Fran.
Fran was in trouble.
I was going to say, too bad Fran and Stuart can't go together.
Fran was in serious trouble
they're
there.
They're both so good.
All right, Stuart, you can use the Vandeveld too if needed. Don't go to Grzanich, however. He's abandoned his post. All right, again, this is from the hard category.
The hard category. I love it when you talk dirty.
While our fathers fought the Second World War, spent their weekends on the Jersey Shore.
Okay.
While our fathers fought the Second World War, spent the weekends on the Jersey Shore.
Okay, Andrea, can you help me?
Oh, God.
Or Andy?
I'm going to defer to Andy because I think he knows this, and I'm going between.
Okay. I'm going Allentown.
All right, we'll see if.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Yep, that's it, Allentown.
You think that's it? And it's hard to keep a good mind now. That's the best part of the song. The guys in the background going.
That's one of my favorites. Yeah.
Love
great
that song.
Woo!
Great song.
You ever see the. Stuart, I don't know if you saw it. Do you ever see the HBO special from Russia? It was about.
Oh, yes. That's awesome.
Yeah, where
so
Billy
got
Joel.
His little daughter out on stage at the end with the little headphones on so she doesn't hurt her hearing. And,
and
the interesting part about that concert is when he first was going to appear, the whole like first 5-10 rows were all like military people.
Yep.
He wouldn't go on stage until they cleared those rows and let the ordinary people sit up front.
It's very true, and you don't get any bonus points for being a smarty pants. all right, hold the line. Here's what we're going to do. Fran was first in.
Okay.
So Fran's going to get first crack at our tie-breaking question.
Okay.
All right? It's a tie-breaking question. It's more of a trivia question than a lyric line. Let me go back to Fran. And if Fran can't answer this question... It'll be an opportunity to steal and get the Billy Joel tickets.
Okay.
Fran, I'm very nervous for you. How are you feeling? Are you okay? Do you need a cold compress or possibly a shot of liquor?
Or both.
All right, here is your question. Billy Joel, at one point, recorded one of his little-known songs from a more recent album with one of the most legendary soul, R&B, blues singers of all time. Some people called it a love song to his piano. Can you name that song? I mean, you can't get help from anybody for these.
Yeah.
No help for these. Your breathing is fine. We're checking your O2 level right now.
Oh, no.
No, I don't have that one.
5 seconds. I'll give you 5 bonus seconds. Any answer at all?
Ray Charles.
Ray Charles is the man, but what's the song?
Oh, the song. Mm. Geez.
No, it's not Oh Geez, but hold on, Fran, if you would. Do you remember Billy Joel's Oh Geez?
Oh Geez, yes.
Oh Geez. All right, Stuart, you got a shot here, buddy.
Yes,
Stuart, I like your chances here, but I'll tell you, Fran...
Same question?
I'm sorry?
Same question?
Well, maybe, Stuart, but if you get this attitude, I may change it. No, it is the same question. Some people called it a love song to his piano. Can you tell me...
Yes, I can. It's Baby Grand.
Baby Grand. You promise you didn't Google that?
No, sir. I'm on the phone. How could I?
Yeah, okay.
I'm in the car, too. So.
There you go. Yeah. All right. I trust you. Fantastic. We're going to actually play Baby Grand in just a second. That's how much I love this song. But don't hang up, Fran. You are a winner. Man, that was a death match. These guys are good. Right back.
They were
back.
Great. Very good. I said, it's too bad Stuart can't take Fran because they were both so good.
Well, if he was a nice guy, he would.
Right. I mean, I'd be open to that. Yeah.
There you go.
All right. So there you go. You know me. I'm a little Jewish mother when it comes to contesting. All right, Stuart, hold the line. Nice job by you and nice job by Fran. Again, Billy Joel tickets at Wrigley on September 7th. Billy Joel, fifth straight year at Wrigley. Tickets on sale this morning at 10 a.m. Get yours at Cubs.com/Billy Joel. I love this song.
Yeah.
Good
too. Won't take much of your time.
Mm-mm.
Billy Joel tells a story about when he first met Ray Charles, one of the all-time greats, obviously.
Yeah.
And Billy Joel, you wouldn't think Billy Joel be starstruck by anybody. And he said he met Ray Charles, he looked him right in the eye and said, "Hi!
Mr. Charles."
But they did this song together and separately. They talked about it. They went in the studio. Billy Joel struggled singing it early on. It's his song. Struggled with it. Ray Charles looked up and said, "Just relax, man." And then they were able to nail it, knock it out of the park. Here's Billy Joel and Ray Charles. This is Baby Grand on the Steve Cochran Show.
Late at night, it's
dark and cold, I reach out for someone to hold. When I'm blue, when I'm lonely, she comes through. In my time, I've wandered everywhere around this world. She would always be there any day, any hour. All it takes is the power in my hands. This baby grand's been good to me. I've had friends, oh, but they slipped away. And I've had fame, but it doesn't stay. I've made fortunes, I spent fast enough. Gonna stand by me. They say that no one's gonna play this on the radio.
What? I don't believe that.
Oh, yeah. They said the melancholy blues was dead and gone.
But only songs like these, played in minor keys, keep those memories holding on.
I've come far from the life I strayed in,
and I've got the scars from those dives I played in.
Now I'm whole.
Coming home with me,
and ever since this game began, my baby friend.
I love this. Listen to this now.
It's been good to me.
Me? How good is that?
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
This is the Steve Cochran Show. Remember our slogan, much less music, much more talk. App gift card for Fran as well for being really great at the game, too.
Because it's not about money at the end of the day. Money is not, doesn't equate to, like, happiness. It doesn't. It's, that's not missing the whole point. We treat people like human beings. And then, you know, that's the main point. You can't treat someone like, it goes back to the whole thing. You're going to treat me really bad and pay me well.
Right. Yeah, that's
it. It's not going to lead to happiness. It's going to lead to, like, you know, again, the same thing. Everyone's going to be sick.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
That's a little bit of Jay-Z from the debut of the Van Jones show on CNN on Saturday. Made a bunch of news. Our friend Ryan Nobles from CNN joins us. Hello, buddy.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
How are you?
Great, great. No complaints. A big week here in Washington. Every week is a big week, I guess.
All right, here's what we know about the State of the Union address. It normally is a look how well we did last year, and here's what we have to do this year. Any reason to expect anything different?
No, I mean, I think in typical Trump fashion, he might be a little bit more defiant in his tone than maybe some other presidents are. But traditionally, you know, we look back at Trump and his history. This is always an area where we don't expect him to perform all that well, and he exceeds expectations. So I imagine it'll probably be a pretty standard State of the Union where he kind of outlines what he hopes to accomplish this year. But I'm sure there will be quite a bit of looking back on what he believes was a successful 2017. What I don't think is going to come up is the Russia investigation or any of those things that are kind of clouding his administration right now.
Yeah, it would be interesting if right in front of everybody he went, yes, of course I'm guilty.
Or if he just yelled no collusion.
No collusion, right? Hey, Ryan, Frederica Wilson, our own Jan Schakowsky, a lot of lawmakers saying that they're going to boycott the State of the Union. We've seen this before where there's been some boycotts, but I don't think quite to this level or quite to this number. And plus, he's going into this with the lowest popularity of any American president in history.
Yeah, that's right, Andrea. I mean, yeah, you might see one or two members of Congress say that they're not going to show up. The list continues to grow by the day. I think we're somewhere around the range of five or six. It could swell to 10 or maybe even a dozen by the time it comes around. I don't know how big of an impact this really has if somebody doesn't show up. You know, it's something that'll probably get mentioned during the coverage. You know, I think the other thing that people are doing to try and show their opposition to President Trump is the guests that they bring to the State of the Union. I know that there are some members of Congress that are bringing dreamers to kind of remind him that, you know, he's got to do something about DACA. Joe Kennedy, who is going to offer up the Democratic response from Massachusetts, is actually invited a transgender member of the military to drive that point home. So there will be all sorts of different protests that are provided throughout the night. At the end of the day, though, it's really all about what the president has to say and how he delivers that message to the American people.
We're going to run into another budget deadline here where the government runs out of money and might have to shut down on February 10th, which is a little more than a week and a half away. I don't have a whole great sense of optimism. They're going to figure it out before then. Do you?
No, and you know, really, shouldn't that be the focus of his?
That's the point, yeah.
His State of the Union, yeah. I mean, that this is an opportunity for the leader of this government to stand forward and outline a very specific and detailed path to get them out of this mess, as opposed to continuing to throw wrenches into the works as he has up until this point. And the State of the Union is going to fall smack dab in the middle of this, you know, this deadline that they have. And not much has been accomplished. Yeah, there were scatters of meetings among senators last week. The House wasn't even in session last week. Most of them are not going to get back into town until later this afternoon. And then the other thing people probably aren't focusing on enough is the House is in session for 2 days. And then on Wednesday, the Republicans are all going to West Virginia for a retreat to map out all of next year. So nothing's going to get done on this next week, this coming week. So that shrinks the deadline for them to get something accomplished even shorter. You know, I mean, the White House has kind of put out this list of principles where they stand on immigration. Not all the immigration hawks are necessarily in love with it. This is going to be a very testy week and a half or so in Washington, and the government's the funding of the government is going to be held hostage once again. And as you point out, Steve, there isn't a lot of optimism right now.
There was Hillary Clinton news over the weekend. Normally, it takes a whole bunch of Republicans to keep her alive. She's alive on her own now. This again goes to this nonsense about fake news and unfair reporting, which is just it's about the shortest fuse I have. It's just ridiculous. I've said it a million times. You wouldn't know about the Hillary Clinton email mess if it wasn't for great reporting. And here again, mm-hmm. We've got somebody from 2008 who was a religious advisor to the campaign of Hillary Clinton, who was clearly a creep. And the argument that it was 10 years ago doesn't wash. If you're a creep in 2008, you're a creep in 2018. Doesn't matter if you violated the law or not. He violated the sanctity of the workplace, and he hurt a lot of women that he worked with. And it seems the main reason he was allowed to stay in the employ of the campaign at that time was Hillary. Do we know anything new on that?
No, I think you mapped it out very well, Steve. I mean, I the idea that Hillary Clinton can absolve herself of any guilt in this situation, I think, is suspect. And I thought that her response was weak at best.
Right.
And, you know, she's been somebody that has been you know, one of the leaders in calling out and criticizing, you know, members in Hollywood and people that have that are in politics and all these different areas when it comes to sexual harassment. But here's somebody that's closely associated with her, where there's even at least the illusion that she may have done something to protect this individual after repeated complaints about him. And she basically said that she's horrified when she hears what happened. You know, this is, as we've talked about before, Steve, this isn't a Republican problem. This isn't a Democratic problem. It's not a Hollywood problem. It's not a sports problem. This is like an American problem right now. And if you're going to decide that you think that this person did something wrong, if somebody that's closely associated with you did something along those same lines, you have to be just as strong in your condemnation of that. I don't think that Hillary Clinton did that this week. And, you know, Jen Psaki, who's one of our contributors, she was a spokesperson for Barack Obama. She was on our State of the Union program over the weekend, and she said it makes her feel like she needs to hit her head on a wall when she sees how Hillary Clinton handled this situation. We're not going to solve this problem if we're going to continue to protect our friends. Everybody's has got to be strong in their opposition to it.
Without a doubt, and considering the historical background of the marriage of Hillary and Bill Clinton, you think she would be the last person to put up with this, regardless of friendship. So the backstory doesn't matter as the current, and the inability to say you're sorry has hurt a lot of politicians, probably none more so than Hillary Clinton. You know, here in Illinois, Governor Rauner, who I've supported publicly, Governor Rauner needs to say he's sorry it didn't go better in the first 4 years, and he hasn't been able to say that. What is it about politicians? It's not just Trump, but what is it about politicians' inability to say, yeah, I screwed up?
I mean, I think that there is this feeling from politicians, and you know, and I, you know, aside from the ones I cover, I'm actually just, you know, friends with many people that are in elected office on all levels, and there's just this fear that what your conduct is going to be, even slight hiccups in your conduct is going to be magnified in such a way that it's just going to, you know, that it could potentially destroy you, that you have to walk such a thin line. And I do think that politicians, to a certain extent, just don't trust the average American to look at an issue in totality and say, okay, well, this wasn't perfect, but this person was trying to do their best, and I want to give this person another shot. And I just think that, you know, these examples, when you've seen politicians be honest about situations, they always tend to end up better as a result of it. And I think it's probably true that we do hold them to too high of a standard, but part of that is because they are never in a position where they allow themselves to show that they can make mistakes, but they can recover from those mistakes. And I think that goes back to the conversation we often have about finding ways to compromise. Just like you would never show any kind of weakness or that you've made a mistake in something, you'd also can't say that you'd ever find a way to work with the other side. Our politics is worse as a result of it.
No doubt about it, and that obliviousness costs every politician who doesn't understand that we're a forgiving culture. And to look into a camera and say, I'm truly sorry for what happened, and more importantly, I understand why you feel the way you feel, but I'm going to do everything I can to change what happened. That would make such thunderous news that because politicians don't do that, you wouldn't have to try to explain the rest to anybody. But nobody seems to get it.
It wasn't this exact line, but my wife and I were talking about something along these lines in terms of politicians budging from their entrenched positions. And my wife just kept saying to me over and over again, like, why doesn't at least one person try it to see what happens? Yeah. And I have to imagine that at some point there's going to be a politician that's going to stand up and say, you know what, I'm sick of the party labels, I'm sick of what I'm expected to be as a Republican or a Democrat, and I'm just going to kind of do what I think is right, and if I don't get reelected, so be it. But there seems to be either one of two ways that politicians, at least at the federal level, are going this way, and that is, A, I'm going to support my party lock, stock, and barrel no matter what, and hope that that works to get me reelected, or I'm going to run for the hills and not be in elected politics anymore. So I can have this kind of independent voice in a lame duck status for the rest of my tenure. I'm interested in seeing somebody that's going to stand up and say, listen, I believe that we're doing this the wrong way. I want to try and find areas of compromise. And you know what? I'm going to take that standpoint and put it in front of the voters in my district and see if Americans respond to it. Somebody's going to do that at some point, and I think it's going
to
work.
Right, and if that means I have to go back and get a regular job, then that's what it is. But I got to look at myself in the mirror in the morning.
Right, and we have to remember, too, there's been an uptick in the number of millennials registering to vote and a number of independent candidate party voters as well, because the younger generation doesn't identify with either party at this point. So, in a weird way, that could kind of be seen as a good thing.
Yeah, if millennials want to hear old people bickering, they can stay home and listen to their parents.
Right.
You know, it's just because that's what these parties do. They just bitch at each other.
But the problem with that is the infrastructure just doesn't exist to run as a third party candidate. And that's part of the way we have the system set up in this country. But it's also a part of that. There's just never been the momentum and the emphasis to put something behind that. So, I think like, there's probably young millennials with idealistic ideas to run as independent candidates, and then they run into the reality of what it takes to get on the ballot and raise money and get your name and your identity out there. So I still think that you got to have good people that come up through both parties to try and reform these parties and get us back to some sort of semblance of order and compromise. I think independent candidates will always play a role, but I think Jeff Flake, when asked if he would ever run for his Senate seat as an independent, he said the independent an independent run, a third party run is always something of the future, and I think it'll remain that way.
Yeah, and until somebody has the stones to do that, nothing changes until people get involved. Ryan Nobles, thank you as always. Ryan Nobles all over social media and all over your CNN. Where will you be tomorrow night?
I actually haven't been given my marching orders yet.
Okay. Assignment yet to come.
I'll be around somewhere, that's for sure.
All right, buddy. Thank you as always.
All right. Have a great week, guys.
Thanks. Ryan Nobles from CNN.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what kind of music you like. You cannot watch Bruno Mars without making you a little happier. He's just good.
Yeah.
He's just good. That's all. It's 7:58. Here's a phrase you won't hear me say that often. There was a phenomenal obituary that went viral this weekend. And it's about a man from DeMott, Indiana. I can't tell you where DeMott is, but it's Terry Wayne Ward, 71. And a woman named Jean Lahm, wrote it about her dad. Terry Wayne Ward was, and this is just part of the obit, was a husband of 48 years, father of three, grandfather of seven. But he had accumulated about 3,000 rolls of electrical tape from his time as an electrical lineman. He gave, quote, 39 years of begrudging service to AT&T. He knew hot sauce could be put on anything and hated uppity foods like hummus, unless we called it bean dip, and in that case, he loved it. The Vietnam vet had zero working knowledge of the Kardashians, and he knew automobiles were never to be purchased new. He loved everything, including snorkeling, cold beer, free beer, Bed Bath & Beyond, and beer. Most importantly, he left behind 32 jars of Miracle Whip, 17 boxes of Hamburger Helper, and multitudes of other random items that would prove helpful in the event of a zombie apocalypse. How great is that that she put a zombie apocalypse in?
That is great. They know they pay per line, right?
You know what? Splurge. And I said to somebody afterwards, I go, I don't know if I wanted to meet him or meet her.
Right. Probably her.
Because he sounded like it was phenomenal. There's a bunch of stuff in here, too, about how much he loved his grandkids and all the nicknames he gave them. You know, if you got to hope that no matter what kind of a cranky pain in the butt you are, that at the end of your days, you have somebody that loves you enough to write all that about you. So, pretty cool. So, we'll find the full obit and post it to social at Cochran Show on Twitter, and Facebook is Steve Cochran Show, and of course WGN Radio's Facebook and Twitter accounts as well. Before we get to the news at 8 o'clock, and Dean's coming up, and we'll have a bunch on the Grammys there. This again is the 32nd anniversary of the Challenger disaster. And with the State of the Union tomorrow night, we go back 32 years for one of the greatest speeches a president ever made. On that terrible night after that terrible day where Krista McAuliffe and the crew of the Challenger were killed, as kids in classrooms watched all over the country, and by the way, obviously including their families, Ronald Reagan said these words. I can't remember who wrote the speech, but it's tremendous. We're just going to give you the end of this, and I think you'll remember it.
The crew of the Space Shuttle Challenger honored us for the manner in which they lived their lives. We will never forget them, nor the last time we saw them this morning as they prepared for their journey and waved goodbye and slipped the surly bonds of Earth to touch the face of God. Thank you.
It's a goosebumps. It's goosebumps now.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me.
For those of you who are new listeners, thank you for that. And as Dean Richards joins us, yes, the song says, I love you more than white guys should. We don't know why.
One guy should.
Oh, it's one guy?
I think, yeah. Oh. But we've changed the lyrics a little bit.
So Dean was just doing TV. I'm not sure he's back with us
yet.
Back. There you are.
I am.
Yesterday, I'm listening.
Enjoying your dulcet tones.
Yesterday, I was listening to you and Elton Jim.
You sent me a text?
Yes, I did. And there was something about that hour of the show where I thought maybe you might need rescuing. You had Schwani doing a DJ voice. You had Elton Jim going off the Elton John deep end.
Well, that was intentional. I mean, I brought him in because, you know, it was the Grammys. We're going to talk music. Mm-hmm, Elton mm-hmm. John just announced his retirement. But I have to remember to stop at the veterinarians and get some doggy downers.
Yeah.
The next time.
He's a very entertaining guy. For those of you who have not heard Elton Jim, you just don't want to be caught in a broken elevator with him. Did he talk about this is the guy that was on with Gary Meyer whenever Gary would be good enough to open his mic. This is the guy that's gone to I think it was 171
shows, and tomorrow he will go to 172.
172 Elton John concerts. I don't know if you guys covered this in your extensive team coverage, but this is the 3 years out Elton John announced his retirement situation. And did he ever have like a Planes, Trains, and Automobiles experience where it took him forever to get to a show and he was stressing out?
Yeah, he did. He did actually talk about that, where he's had a number of travel snafus that took place, but he still made it, still got there.
Does Elton John know him, Dean?
Elton John has met him.
Okay.
I think it might be a stretch to say that.
Okay. Because, you know, you go to 172 shows, I know you can't look at everyone in the crowd, but he seems like he would maybe have a recognizable face.
He has autographs. He has...
Pinball machines.
He has a letter that Elton John wrote him.
Mm-hmm. Saying, please stay away from...
It's a restraining order. Yeah, it's a restraining order that Elton John...
We'll call it a restraining order. Yeah. If you want to be picky. He's a super fan.
There's a self-awareness, though, to his super fandom that I thought was entertaining. Because
mm-hmm.
we all like Elton Jim. He's
very
nice
much.
Guy.
Super nice guy.
Speak for yourself.
But, well, he's a threat to you. He's a nice guy to us. we all have interests that maybe other people don't completely understand. And maybe Dean, maybe his wife is the saint in all of this. But he admitted that nobody wants all of his crap, of his Elton John crap. He's got nobody to give it to. He just enjoys it.
He just enjoys it. He's got two Elton John pinball machines, and I think he said 12 bins, you know, like those large storage bins you get. 12 of T-shirts and ticket stubs.
Chock full of Elton John crap.
He's got a beach towel. He's got just a regular white hand towel that Elton John apparently uses during the show to wipe his brow.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that. So technically, he's got some Elton John DNA that he could get cloned, I suppose.
Wow.
At some point, he's got a plastic cup that allegedly Elton John has drank from.
Okay, I thought it was cute until that part. It's a little creepy.
Probably wouldn't help if I ever told Elton Jim that Elton John sent me flowers. Did I ever tell you that story?
No. Did he really?
Yeah, don't tell him. It'll break his heart.
Yeah, I did an interview with him a couple of times, and the second time I got flowers from Elton John. I think it literally, I'm not making this up, I think it's the second, no, I think it's the only time a man has sent me flowers.
Did you save the petals?
No.
Okay.
No. Well, no, put them in some water for a couple days.
You just wait till I get on FTD.com today.
Maybe they were for a funeral for a friend.
We had, look at you. We had a Casio in the studio.
Yeah.
And I asked him to try to teach me how to play. He spent like 30 seconds. He goes, "You're just not very good, are you?"
No. Take up another hobby.
You got right to the point.
All right, so we got a bunch of stuff in the Grammys to talk about. And I thought the Elton John Miley Cyrus thing was great.
I enjoyed it very much. Elton still sounds great. He's such a machine. With his hits, he delivers. But Miley Cyrus was the big surprise. This is, you know, the one who was twerking and, you know, always borderline inappropriate performances at different award shows. She has definitely taken a page from the Lady Gaga,
yep,
I'm Growing Up handbook.
Yep.
Yeah, she even dressed like her.
She looked beautiful.
The gown.
And she is really a great vocalist.
Yeah, she's tremendous.
Miley Cyrus is really a great vocalist.
You know what I liked about the performance, and obviously you guys can find it online today if you missed it, was there was a sweetness to it. It was deferential to Elton John, you know, being the superstar, but she just belted it out. She looked like she was having a blast.
Yeah, yeah, they looked like they were really having fun.
So that was very cool. But there are lots of cool moments last night, and lots of very funny moments as well. And Dean will detail many of those. But right now, a car is pulling back around to the Bruno Mars Grammy drive-up window to hand him another one.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9.
So, Dean, I mentioned this earlier. I thought Corden did a nice job. And he got a lot of room to do bits, and there's some very funny bits, but one of the best jokes of the night got buried, and it was consolation puppies for the comedians that lost.
He said that he didn't want anyone to leave feeling badly, so that if you were a nominee and you did not win, that you would get a consolation puppy, and they brought up these adorable little puppies.
They look like newborns. They were tiny.
They were tiny. They were tiny. It happened to be when the Best Comedy Album was announced. Dave Chappelle won. So the ones who did
Jim
not
Jim Gaffigan
win,
and Seinfeld.
Gaffigan,
and
Seinfeld and Sarah Silverman got one.
I've never seen Seinfeld that happy.
He was just thrilled. Yeah, he's laughing his head off. And, you know, who doesn't love a puppy? Who doesn't like, you know, seeing beautiful puppies? Well, there's an organization, Steve, named PETA.
Oh, God. Lighten up, Francis.
They were not so happy with the whole puppy thing. They and many other animal activists who felt the same way tweeted like crazy that they didn't think that the bit was funny at all. But PETA said, very disappointed that the Grammys chose to gift puppies as a joke. Steve, animals are not toys.
Yeah, here's the thing, PETA. There is nobody quite like Hollywood in providing protection on sets and in cases like this. I guarantee you there was someone called a puppy wrangler who was just out of camera range, who took those puppies back and put them safely away. They weren't mistreated. Plus, now they can get agents.
That's true. I didn't think about
that. It's an on-camera credit for every one of those puppies.
How would you like to be? I wonder if anyone actually kept their puppy.
Well, I don't think you can unless you go through puppy school. Yeah. My sister Jen just got a new puppy.
Jerry Seinfeld is a very powerful man, Steve.
Nah, you still can't do it. I suggested my sister Jen that we name her puppy on the air, and she hung up on me. All right, so Bruno Mars and Kendrick Lamar, both big winners last night. You got some sound for me?
Especially Bruno Mars. He won every category for which he was nominated. He was nominated in seven categories, won all seven of them, including three of the biggest prizes of the night. He won Album of the Year for his album 24 Karat Magic. He won Record of the Year for the title track from that album. And he also won Song of the Year. And the difference between Record of the Year and Song of the Year, songwriter is the Songwriter's Award. And he won for That's What I Like for that. He also won Best R&B Performance, Best R&B Single, Best R&B Album. Did I say album? He won three R&B categories, and also Best Non-Classical Engineering Mix. This is a little of what Bruno Mars had to say last night.
To the other nominees in this category, Lorde, Kung Fu Kenny, Jay-Z, Gambino,
You guys are the reason why I'm in the studio pulling my hair out, man, because I know you guys are going to only come with the top shelf artistry and music, and thank you guys for blessing the world with your music. I mean that. My father, if you're watching this, Dad, I love you. Look at me, Pop, look at me. I'm at the Grammys right now.
How cool is that? He's Bruno Mars. You know, he's achieved everything. He plays in some of the biggest arenas all over the world, and he's giddy that he's on the stage at the Grammy Awards and showing off for his dad.
It's really cool. And, you know, mentioning his band and his dancers.
Yep.
And his girlfriend, who nobody ever knew he had a girlfriend.
He's very, very humble and very, very appreciative.
Yeah,
to,
very cool.
To everybody, as was Kendrick Lamar. Now, this was kind of interesting. Everybody said that this was going to be the Grammy Awards where hip-hop and rap music overtook a more traditional kind of pop music. Jay-Z was nominated for 8 Grammy Awards last night. He had the most nominations. Went home only with Beyonce, which I'll give you. It's not a terrible thing to have to go home with. But zero Grammy Awards for Jay-Z last night. And Kendrick Lamar actually came in 2nd place last night. He won 5, mostly in the rap categories. In fact, he won everything in the rap categories. And he was very thoughtful and eloquent in his acceptance speech.
Most importantly, it showed me a true definition of what being an artist was. You know, from the jump, I thought it was about the accolades and the cars and the clothes, but it's really about expressing yourself and putting that paint on the canvas for the world to evolve for the next listener, the next generation after that. You know what I'm saying?
That's pretty nice, I think.
So I agree. I totally agree. You know, the biggest news this morning out of the Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue is that Mary Vandeveld doesn't get Kendrick Lamar, and I had to explain to her that she's a white woman from the suburbs.
Not for everybody. You know, not everybody doesn't have to like everything.
But I asked Mary.
It's cool.
I asked Mary to spend the last 3 hours listening to nothing but Kendrick Lamar for the big Kendrick Lamar quiz you were about to give her.
Oh, wow.
That I'm gonna my head has already exploded.
I will say I did invoke the old white man while I was watching his opening performance, which was really, just as performance art, was stunning. And I got the visual meaning of it all. I had a very difficult time because he is one of the fastest rappers that there is. He is one of the most rapid-fire rappers that there is.
Was he reading a teleprompter?
I don't think
anybody could read that. Didn't it look like when he was rapping, just standing there, he was reading a teleprompter?
Typical suburban white critic.
Often he looked like he was looking down.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I don't think he was reading a prompter.
I'm kidding, but it just seemed, I'm like, come on, you know.
Yeah, I didn't get that from him, but in going back, I rewatched it with the closed circuit captioning on,
mm-hmm.
and it you know, helped, and I got a much better understanding.
Well, that's why I got you Rosetta Stone for hip hop. I'm going to be dropping that off later today.
That's perfect.
Yeah,
that's mm-hmm. perfect. I'm going to go back and play it back at 33 and a third. People under 70 years old will get this joke. Then just slow it down so I can understand the words better.
Send it to me, will you?
But it was a very powerful and very thoughtful, politically charged statement that he was making, on which he was joined by U2. Bono and
how cool was that? Those the old guys freezing their butts off
awesome.
On Liberty Island,
and also
not they're freezing their butts off, but their performance was awesome.
Dave Chappelle also joined. I'll tell you what I'm going to remember this Grammy Award performance for were the messages from women.
Yep,
and they one of the best speeches of the night came from singer Janelle Monáe.
How is she not a bigger star? She was so great in Hidden Figures.
Yep.
Her music is maybe not for everybody, but she's beautiful. She's passionate about this stuff.
Incredibly articulate, incredibly eloquent and articulate. This is Janelle Monáe talking about female empowerment.
I am proud to stand in solidarity as not just an artist, but a young woman with my fellow sisters in this room who make up the music industry. And to those who would dare try and silence us, we offer you 2 words. Time's up. We say time's up for pay inequality. Time's up for discrimination. Time's up for harassment of any kind. And time's up for the abuse of power. Because you see, it's not just going on in Hollywood. It's not just going on in Washington. It's right here in our industry as well.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah, she spoke.
How about that?
She spoke beautifully. And
forget about Oprah. Janelle for president.
We can start that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw in Kesha maybe for vice president or president also.
It was very emotional. What was really cool is the way they set that up where everybody supported her, right?
Yeah, there was a chorus of all-star female voices.
All in white.
All dressed in white, you know, sort of gospel choir style. Cyndi Lauper among the many familiar faces in there. And Kesha singing the song that she wrote when she came out with one of the very first disclosures that she accused a former producer of hers of drugging her, of abusing her, both emotionally and sexually. And she wrote this beautiful song, which was a message to abusers that I'm going to pray for you. It was in a very emotional moment. I also found at the end of the show a very, very emotional moment with the singer called Logic, who was joined by the best new artist last night, Alicia Cara and singer Khaled. They sang the song, which is a suicide awareness, suicide prevention anthem, which has become the anthem. And the name of the song is the actual telephone number of the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. And it's very moving. It's very powerful. And he gave a pretty emotionally charged moment as well. Overall, it was a little more of a somber show than, you know, usually anything goes on the Grammys and crazy things happen.
Yeah, hardcore.
It was a little more controlled, a little more somber this year.
Great music performances.
Yeah.
And again, I thought Corden was pretty funny as well.
You want a quick little montage? Do you have?
Yeah, Andre had a question for you, though.
Dean, real quick, with regard to the women's movement, I mean, we've seen, again, like you said, somber with the Grammys last night, Golden Globes, everyone wore black. Any chatter yet on what's going to happen at the Oscars?
I haven't heard anything about the Oscars yet, and it's going to be interesting, you know, how they do, because the abuse scandal and women's equality and empowerment and so forth was really up front at the Golden Globes. This one was, while there were moments in the show that were like that, it was not nonstop like it was at the Golden Globes. So we'll see what's going to happen at the Academy Awards. Here, the music could do a lot of the talking. You know, the music could tell a lot of the messages. At the Academy Awards, it's going to be, you know, people using their acceptance speeches to do those things.
Here's a little bit of that montage you addressed. Oh, yeah. How many people were involved in that montage?
That was just one of the songs.
We're tight on time.
The 5 minute.
It was more of a mon than a montage.
I was cha-ching in my living room.
Yeah, that was one of the great performances. Despacito, the song from the biggest song of 2017.
Don't be shy, you wrote it.
Elton John, I don't like to brag. Or Andrea will get this joke.
Yes.
Andrea, the Greek version of that song.
Yes.
Pastizo.
Oh, I love it. Yes.
The Greek lasagna.
That's fantastic. Pastizo.
All over Chicago, Greek people are laughing.
People are laughing their
pastizo,
heads off right
yeah.
now. Elton John and Miley Cyrus were amazing last night. Sting did Englishman in New York. Lady Gaga was unbelievable singing.
I've threaded my hair the way she did last night as well.
It looks quite well. Yeah,
thank you. I see that. Thank yeah, you. There were really, really great performances all the way through last night.
Yeah, I thought so too. And the auditions for Fire and Fury, the audio book read ending with Hillary Clinton, where frankly she was making fun of herself when she goes, "The Grammy, it's in the bag," you know, making fun of the fact that this one she can win. Yeah, I like the show. I did.
Good job. Good job by all.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
I'm sure they care about what we think.
They totally do. President Janelle Monáe. What do you think?
I like it. Yeah, like the ring to it. Hey, Oprah said no, so.
She weighs about 90 pounds, and I'm afraid of her. It's 8:34. Back with more in a moment.
Ditka. Well, it's coming right now, right for us at 22,000 miles an hour.
Ditka.
Not a soul on earth can hide from
it. The Steve Cochran Show now welcomes Mike Ditka.
I'm happy for Steve, and I told him I'm proud of him. I tell you what.
The best Bears conversation is right now on 720 WGN.
Coach, on Super Bowl week. a scant 33 years ago. No, 32 years ago. It was 86. 32 years ago, the week of prep in New Orleans was well underway. Coach Dicka joins us now. Morning, Coach.
Morning. How are you?
Doing fine. What's your number one memory? First thing that comes to mind when you think of the run-up to that Super Bowl week in New Orleans?
Well, it's hard to say there was one thing. You know, I was very confident in our football team. We were a very good football team. We proved that when we went down to that Super Bowl and won the game the way we did. But, you know, anything can happen in a football game, a bad break here or there. And, you know, so you're always on edge a little bit. But when we went to New Orleans to play that game, I was completely confident because our guys were in the right frame of mind. They knew what they had to do. They were on a mission, and they did it.
You spent a lot of time in New Orleans. You got a favorite restaurant there?
Well, I ate just about everywhere, but I ate at some restaurants that were kind of off the beaten path, and they were awfully good. There's no bad food in New Orleans. I mean, I really mean it. It's a great city. It's good. People are good. The food is outstanding.
You guys ever thought about putting a Ditka's down there back in the day?
We had one.
Oh,
we had one down there. Fortunately, we didn't have enough Cajun food.
Yeah, great steaks, limited Cajun.
Yeah, when I got fired, I think everything went out the window.
So we're having trouble selling those steaks right now. Andy Mazur's here. Say hi to Coach.
Coach, I'm just curious, you know, with the week in between the end of the NFC and the AFC Championship game and then the Super Bowl, there's always that room for all that hype. I mean, how tough is it on a coach, though, to keep a team focused?
I think it's up to the team, really. I mean, the game is much different than it was back in 86. I mean, the people, the coverage, there's so much more coverage. These guys are they're under a microscope, everything, every move they make. So, you know, what we told them, when you go to New Orleans, hey, listen, you're representing the Chicago Bears, be respectful. I mean, you can have fun, but don't go overboard. And our guys are down there on a mission. Like I said, they were all focused, and, they might have had a little fun. It was all business.
Yeah, once again, big game time, as was evident by the final score. So, we got a funky cell with Coach. Coach, you with us? Coach has gone. There you go. Your cell phone's a little goofy.
Well,
there you are. Now you're good. You're good. You're good. All right. So, look, the easy play here is it's got to be Brady. It's got to be the Patriots. Tell me why maybe it's not.
Because it's a football game, and anything can happen. And the worst thing you could go is walk into the Eagles locker room and tell them the Patriots are going to win, because they don't believe that. They believe they're going to win. I think it would be better off if they had Carson Wentz a quarterback, but this kid's a good football player. I think Doug Peterson done a great job coaching these guys. They got a good running game. They can throw the ball. They can play defense. They can match up. There's no question about it. Now, in saying that, you know, Belichick and Brady, I mean, it might be the two greatest coaching quarterback combinations in the history of the game. Probably are.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The success they've had. And success breeds confidence. There's no question about it. They're going to be very confident. But can the Eagles do it? Yeah. I think first thing they got to do is they got to get after them in the first quarter. They really do. They got to make them have them turn over or score in the first quarter early. And I think they got a chance to win. I really do. But to pick against the Patriots, I'd have to be, well, people say I'm insane, so I'd have to be insane.
Andy?
Yeah, Coach, Dave Duerson's family kind of came through forward here in Illinois and is trying to pass a bill to prevent youngsters under the age of 12 from playing tackle football because of concussion concerns. What do you think about that? Where do you come down on that?
Well, it is a concern, and you know what happened to Dave. And it, you know, I can't explain what happens with certain people. I know people. I played the game a long time. I had concussions. I think some people are more susceptible to, because of a gene in their body, to the results of a concussion.
Right.
And Dave might have been one of those people. I really think that, because if you're going to talk about people, nobody hit harder than Butkus.
Right.
I mean, let's talk. So, I mean, you know, or Singletary. I mean, let's talk about I think there's a gene in your body that makes you a little more susceptible to that problem. As far as kids playing football, you know, to me, I don't know how much tackle football I played at. I played in the Catholic grade school, so we played in 7th and 8th grade. And then I played in junior high and high school. But, you know, we didn't think anything of it. We had guys who were thoughtful, respectful, and they coached us pretty well. And we didn't have any of these drills where you run head-on into people and things like that. So I don't know. But I can understand the parents' concern. I really do. I understand the whole situation. But then again, you know, hey, you can walk and fall off your bike and you can get hurt too, you know.
Yeah, that's true. But, yeah, there's no reason that your kid can't learn the game and play it very well starting at the age of 12. So I agree with you. All right, give me a final score, Coach. Patriots what? Eagles what?
I don't want to do that. I really don't, because my heart's one place and my mind's the other place.
Well, let me tell you something. Good thing I'm not your bookie.
I'd like to see the Eagles win, but I don't know if they, you know, what's going to happen. I just say one thing, that if the Eagles can put some pressure on Brady early, I think they got a very, very good chance of winning.
Well, I'm like you. I hope it's a good game. Coach, thanks for it.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you.
See you later. That's Mike Ditka. I don't know if you're familiar with his work.
I've heard of him.
But, yeah, you know, even if your kid wants to grow up and be the next Tom Brady, he can start at 12.
Yeah. You know, like I said, when Doc Most was on, I mean, it comes down to coaching. I mean, coaches have to teach these kids to play the right way.
Yep.
It does scare me, though. I'm telling you, if I had a son, I don't know if I would want him playing before the age of 12 or at all. But that just being overprotected.
Well, that law should be able to be passed.
These the little kids, but you said it earlier, they're little people.
Yeah, they're just little tiny people with, you know, big helmets.
And the strongest helmet in the world is not going to prevent that impact.
Yeah, totally agree. So. And, you know, soccer, you know, you have that danger of being kicked in
absolutely.
The head. But it's not every single play.
Absolutely.
Basketball, same sort of dangers, but not every single play.
Exactly.
Football is a collision every play.
Right.
And the other thing, though, is, you know, kids are still under development at that age.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's still developing.
That's what that act points out, that the neck, specifically before the age of 12, is in a comparable, like, compromised, could be compromised more easily.
Right?
Yeah, that's why they're picking 12 as the age.
Seems right.
Same thing for youth soccer. They're going to attack that next, as far as the neck is concerned. And a coach can do their best job to teach whatever. We have an 11-year-old in our household who doesn't listen exactly the way a coach. He doesn't see it all the same. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, but here's the thing. Because I coach forever. Then you don't play.
Exactly.
Right.
If you don't do it the right way, you don't play.
Right, but it takes one wrong way.
You bring up a great point too, Mary. Hockey. I mean, it has to be addressed there as well.
Yeah, and I think the NHL. I'm going to get on a limb here probably, but I think the NHL has been the least aggressive in addressing this. Am I wrong about that?
Well, I mean, now they pull a guy off the ice. And you have to go into the dark room and get checked out
go
by the team
the concussion
position.
Protocol.
Right.
All right, good.
Well, those guys are the ones that want to come back out there anyway. I mean, Duncan Keith lost 10
Nobody's going to lie faster than an NHL
you get
hockey player.
Ditched up get and back you go out. Back out, right.
Coach, I've got another ear.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to hear out of this one.
I brought one with me.
I have plenty of teeth.
I have teeth.
Well, a few teeth.
Let me borrow your teeth.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. When I walk up with you,
Bruno from last night at the Grammys. Did Sarah Silverman get a puppy? I feel like Sarah Silverman got a puppy too.
Hopefully she did.
She got a consolation puppy.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She actually was about to make a very important speech last night. Who did she co-present with Victor Cruz? Remember Victor Cruz?
Mm-hmm.
He used to be the Giants. He was with the Bears for about 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Here they are last night.
Victor and I are presenting together for a very important reason, to encourage you all to vote.
That's actually not true at all.
Yeah, no, we're kidding. We're totally kidding.
Yeah.
Do what you want to do. It's no big deal. The world is basically over anyway.
Of course you should vote.
Yes.
And that's why we have Make America Vote Again. Now, we understand that you may well be registered at this point, and if so, good for you. But if you need any information on registering, we're going to repost a one sheet that you did for whether it's Illinois, Michigan, Iowa, Indiana, Wisconsin.
Yes.
We'll put that up. But remind people how to make sure they're registered in Illinois.
Member in Illinois, just go to elections.il.gov, or honestly, if you Google, how do I vote in the state of Illinois, it will pop it, but it'll take you right to the Secretary of State's office. You can do it by when you register, when you renew your driver's license. Just a few quick things you have to know. Of course, you have to be a U.S. citizen. Remember now the new rule. You have to be 17 on or before the date of the primary. You can vote as long as you're going to be 18 on or before the date of the general election. You have to live in your precinct 30 days prior to the election, not be convicted or in jail. And again, just go to elections.il.gov. Same for pretty much for Indiana. Just change it to IN, and then Iowa, Iowa, Michigan, and Wisconsin as well. It's very simple to do. We're going to post it all online on our website, WGNradio.com.
And Sandberg talked to some folks yesterday, and you know, about do you vote, do you not vote? Interesting response. Someone ever come in and talk about that next hour. Patty Vasquez should be with us next hour, too. She live or on the phone? She coming in? She's coming in? Okay, Patty Vasquez will be live with us as well. Now live on CLTV. Look, you're on TV.
Hi.
Look, hello, TV.
CLTV.
Hi, TV. Thanks to CLTV, as they carry the 9 o'clock hour, and they also carry 3 o'clock to 4 with Ro and Anna. If Ro made it back from Argentina, which I don't know if he did.
Is he back today?
I don't know. I don't know if he's even alive.
We assume he did, yeah.
There could have been a rainforest incident.
Uh-oh.
By the way, yes, that was a band I was in, Rainforest Incident.
A long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time. Joe played a band called Trampled for Turtles, Turtles for Trampling. What is it called?
Trampled by Turtles.
Trampled by Turtles.
Turtles for Trampling.
Heroes in a half shell, turtle power.
Jeez.
Yeah. Come on down the mountain. Come on.
Oh, Lisa, stop pining for your saxophone. I got you another instrument.
What is Jug?
Have yourself some vittles. I'll have some, too.
The girl that
Let's go
you.
Kill a squirrel. We'll make us some stew.
Lisa, never, ever stop in the middle of a hoedown.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
All of us lonely, yeah.
9:10, Steve Cochran Show. Coach Q with a quickie. I don't know, 9:50 or so. Before 10 o'clock, we'll talk to Coach Q about the remainder of the season for the All-Star Game. Blackhawks get back at it when, Andrew?
Tomorrow night, Nashville, 6:30 pregame and a 7 o'clock puck drop.
The Pecorine looked pretty good for the first 10 minutes yesterday.
He did. He did look good.
And then he left and everything went dark.
Yes, Hellebuck came in with from Winnipeg.
But the you know, they're in the run right now. Got to win.
Yeah, I mean, you can't leave any points on the table. I mean, it sounds kind of cliche to say it, but you know, they had that opportunity when they had 8 of 9 at home and didn't fully cash in on that big and great opportunity to do that.
There was a story that came over this weekend which made me laugh. I don't think we have time for it. We can do it here. Weird childhood rules that your parents made you follow that don't exist anymore.
Okay.
I'm not sure these don't exist. I have an extension on rule number one, no talking in the car. Did your parents not let you talk in the car?
No, it was free discussion in the car.
Yeah, we could talk in the car. Yeah.
We could talk in the car, but here's the thing.
But you couldn't fight in the car.
Well, you couldn't fight. Yeah, my dad, I've talked about this on stage. My dad used to play this game, fun game with my brother and I. He'd play Shut the Hell Up, I'm Driving.
Okay.
And but there was a thing about my dad which I don't know that I've ever done, and that is, it still makes me laugh, when he was lost, like somewhere, and I'm lost all the time, when he was lost somewhere, and this is a pre-GPS, pre-internet, pre-all that, he would have to turn down the radio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so where he was lost and turned on the radio. I never understood the linkage between turning on the radio and figuring out where you were.
The bus driver always told us that in grade school. Be quiet, I can't see. We were like,
can't concentrate, but I can't see.
The Sandbergs, no talking in the car ever, especially if you're going to be in the car for longer than 20 minutes. We listen to the talk radio. We don't talk ourselves.
Wow. That's so different for you. How about no milk for you? You could not open a new milk carton without your mother or your father's permission.
We couldn't eat in the car.
Oh, yeah.
We
no, didn't. Not in the car. This is in the house.
Oh, it's in the house.
You couldn't just go and open a new milk carton without your parents' permission.
Oh, no, we never really had that.
I didn't have that either.
I had to ask for pop.
The reason I think this came up is because, and I do remember this, is because kids would open 47 cartons of milk if they were in there. It would just be the one closest to the door.
Yeah.
You know what my mom always loved once I started, you know, playing football and baseball and
basketball? I know what you're going to say. When you drank it?
Drank right out of the carton. Yeah. Ah, she loved that. Ugh. She loved it.
That's good drinking.
Awful.
My mom, this is another rule that isn't the same anymore. My mom was obsessed with clean feet. I don't remember that. I don't remember my mom being obsessed with...
I never even got
the wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident thing.
Oh, my dad got that from his mom.
Well, did your mom have an obsession?
Not with us being clean. Well, the house being clean. Like, you could not wear your shoes in the house. Absolutely not. It could be, you know, freezing cold in there.
Yeah, you never should, though.
I know, right?
I mean, that's a good rule.
No, but
that
everything
should still be a rule.
And you know what else we had to do, too? You know, when you brushed your teeth and everything, and when you washed your face in the sink, you had to wipe the sink out.
Yeah, wipe the sink. Yeah, that's... I still do that. And
I know.
I try to get everyone on board, and that my household does not follow.
We should just make this segment about you. Rules Mary has.
I know.
It's kind of similar. Yeah.
Sandberg's house.
But when guests come over, they have to take their shoes off, too?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I don't like that, because some people are really embarrassed about their sock situation.
Well,
then they're going to track.
You're going to have to take them off?
I do agree with this now having my own place. I just don't want the dirt tracked in.
Yeah, I'm a germaphobe.
Yeah.
I'm a germaphobe. I don't know.
People in socks is kind of gross sometimes.
No, I'm telling you, if I take my shoes off in my house, you're taking your shoes off.
Absolutely.
In my house.
You could just not invite anyone over. That solves the whole problem.
I like that idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's not true at all. You love socializing.
I know.
Just clean
I do.
The floor, big deal. But you know, animals go to the bathroom outside on the ground, and
that's
those
true.
People's shoes were there, and I don't want that shoe in my living room.
Someone told me one time.
Now I got to think about that.
No, animals someone told me one time that you're absolutely right. That you are wearing. Think of where you wear your shoes. Public bathrooms. Yeah. On
oh,
the street
stop already.
You don't want that tracked.
I'm already not. Wearing my shoes in the house.
Right.
But dogs walk all over the place and they're walking in your house.
No.
What are you going to do? Make them wear little socks?
House.
I don't like people that bring their dogs over either, but that's a whole separate issue. My sister, so.
One last one that I've lost because our tech system and our situations.
Okay.
Any other obsessions? Parents' rules? Rules your parents have?
Brush your teeth before you go to bed. Everyone should do that anyway.
Yeah, come on.
My dad always said...
How nasty does your mouth feel if you didn't brush your teeth the night before?
Oh, God. Ooh. Or when you first wake up. Jeez.
My dad always said that we don't want to be sheep. So anything our friends or friends' families were doing that sounded amazing...
Just because your friend has a meth lab doesn't mean you have to.
Right. You want to go to Disney World, you don't want to be a sheep.
Oh, like a follower.
We're going to go to a small cabin in Hayward, Wisconsin instead, Mary.
It'll be great.
I know. No, we don't want to be sheep. But I've embraced that. That's why I say that, to get me out of a lot of stuff now.
My father also used to do this really cute thing where he'd ask me to help him, and then he wouldn't tell me what he needed specifically, and then he'd get mad if I didn't know what I was looking for. Oh. I need a 7/17 box and wrench. No, stop! But, Dad, I'm 6.
I don't know what that is.
You couldn't run to Home Depot and pick one up. You know what I'm saying?
I was ranting yesterday because Catherine wore a new jacket to her concert, and she took the tag off in the bathroom, and the tag is sitting on the counter, and the trash can is right below. And the tag did not make it into the trash. Now, her father does this, so I mentioned it to him very
angrily. You were possibly transferring your anger.
I told you already, I'm a little crabby. I was crabby last night as well. And I said, and I can't believe her. She put the tag on the counter when the trash can is right below. And really what I wanted to say, you know the thing you do every time you take a tag off of something.
Yeah, why don't you drop that on him? Your daughter.
I had to hold back a little, but I think he knew that I was really pointing it out that he does it.
This is a good text question. We'll save it, though. We don't want to waste it in 45 minutes, but things your parents are obsessed with.
Yeah,
or were
big
obsessed
time.
With. All right, 9/17. I understand our guest is standing up at a security desk, so we'll have them join us in just a second. Again, Coach Q before 10. We're on CLTV and 720 WGN.
The reason why I started doing this rope work, because I grew up a broken kid. I didn't have my father around. When you don't have that father figure around, you start clinging to other men around you. So a lot of guys come out and say, well, you know, I ain't grow up with my daddy, so I really don't know how to be a father. Some of that may be true, right? But the other part of it is you got to practice. Practice makes perfect.
That is the voice of our guest and the founder of the Dovetail Project, Sheldon Smith. Nice to see you, Sheldon. How are you?
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Glad you're here.
Thank you for having me.
And we heard about you first from CNN. How'd that connection go? Because that takes you from 0 to 60 immediately.
Well, I've seen it go 0 to 100. So had an opportunity. My wife sent in a nomination for me through CNN in 2015.
It's the CNN Heroes thing they do at the end of the year.
Yeah. And she submitted the application, and they took me through this serious process of making sure that, you know, I was deserving of the award. And they wind up selecting me two years later in 2016. And it has changed our organization forever with the help from CNN.
Yeah, the exposure is amazing.
Yes.
So tell everybody what the Dovetail Project is. So Patty Vasquez joins us as well.
Hey, Patty. So the Dovetail Project is a fatherhood initiative for young African-American fathers between the ages of 17 to 24. And so we go around the city and we recruit the young men and we teach them three things: parenting skills, life skills, and felony street law. And when the dads complete the program, they receive a job, a GD, or a trade, along with a $400 stipend.
So here's the thing. I want to be careful with the reality versus the necessity.
Okay.
Because there's a bunch of white folks who go around and go, well, there's no black fathers. Black fathers have kids and they run.
Whew.
That's not true everywhere.
Come on.
But that is a problem in some neighborhoods.
It is.
It's a problem in some of the trailer parks I grew up next to as well. Doesn't matter what color you are.
That's right.
It matters what you do with your life.
That's right.
So we're not talking just about some problem with the black community.
Correct.
Or bad neighborhoods. We're talking about, you know, you made the baby. Now be the dad.
That's right. And I would say two things. The first thing is for me growing up as a young man, having my father in and out of my life, when I was building the program and me growing up in the nonprofit sector, I know when you work around family and culture that that's a different type of programmatic help and support. But when I'm out here doing the work around fatherhood and advocating for fathers and working on fatherhood issues and policy, you know, again, it's all fathers. So yeah.
This is actually, it's a curriculum too, right, Jalen? You talk of, you know, your educational skills, job skills, life coaching.
Uh-huh. So our curriculum was developed by me, and it right now it's currently being evaluated by the University of Chicago Urban Labs. And so our organization is just in this unique place where we've been able to make a lot of impact with 336 young men going through our program, and the University of Chicago Urban Labs and Chicago Beyond stepped in and gave us $1 million investment.
How about that?
That's awesome.
To replicate the program across mm-hmm. the city.
It's huge.
Thank you.
Patty?
What has been the reaction from the young men that you're working with, as far as like the opportunities they might not have otherwise had before?
Well, it's been a crazy reaction, because typically we have 60 fathers in our program a year, but our last class we recruited 420 young men, interviewed 390, and selected 125.
Wow.
And so we've watched our enrollment go all the way up because we've been able to open up two other sites across the city to get them the help and support that they need.
Why'd you decide on 17 to 24 as the target age?
That's a great question. You know, I look at 25 to 30 and say to myself that at that time as a man, you've already decided on a few things that you really want to do. And 17 to 24, you can still be influenced, particularly for a man. You're still maturing, wink, sure. wink, at that time, right?
Right.
Your brain's not done yet.
That's right, according to the women, right?
No science.
yeah, it's true. So I decided to work with that age because my father had me at 18, and it's a very young age to be a parent. And oftentimes when we say, hey, you're 17, take care of the baby, well, that child is still a baby.
Yeah,
you're 17
doesn't
years
know.
Old. Right. And so in that, you know, I wanted to address that age group.
And the peer pressure, even at that age, is still very strong, mm-hmm. especially here in Chicago and on the streets. That's why it's really kind of neat that you have a section called Addressing Felony Street Law, basically encouraging people to stay off the streets,
right.
stay present in your kid's life.
Well, it's not stay off the streets, stay out of jail, right?
Exactly.
And stay present in your kid's life. And the other part of felony street law is family law, right? So how to avoid child support, right? How to avoid custody battles, right? Or learning about gaining custody of your child. Right. And so empowering dads all together to be able to avoid the criminal justice system is our goal.
I take more pride in being a dad now, a first-time grandfather, than anything I've ever done in my life. And I don't take it lightly. It's the number one thing that we need to get right. But when you look at a kid who's 18, 19, I mean, you're a dad at 19 yourself, weren't you?
20. And had it at 21.
Yeah. So you were a young guy as well.
I was.
So if you have a dad that bolted, how do you have a sense of value of a dad in the house? Right. I'm not saying it's an excuse, but you haven't had a role model.
That's correct. And so it's not an excuse. And so for our young men, even the question you started off with in the beginning, our program is a volunteer-based initiative. It's not a place where, and if you miss more than two classes, you're terminated from the program. So to look at, you know, the rules, because being a parent is real and serious. And so, you know, these young men aren't making excuses. They're coming in, volunteering their time, completing the program, stepping up to take advantage of the resources so that they can continue to impact their families.
What do you need? How do you make it better?
How do I make it better?
Because I don't want people to hear you got $1 million and you're set now.
Ooh,
you're not.
And I'm not. What we need is for people to volunteer and support us. We need diapers, wipes, if they can donate baby milk, if they can come in and volunteer to mentor some of our young men.
Real-world supplies.
Yeah, real-world supplies. And if they can make a contribution or a donation, that would be great, too, as well. And so the $1 million was just a step in the right direction for us as a small agency to continue to impact fathers.
How do they distribute those? Or how do they get them to you so you can distribute them, I should say?
Well,
like if somebody wants to bring you a bag of stuff.
They can come by our office at 7300 South Cottage Grove here in Chicago, or they can go online to our website at www.thedovetailproject.org and look up our information and mail it in to us.
Well, that's great. That's great on both counts. Stereotypes go both ways.
Correct.
You get a 17 to 24-year-old young black man, and you get somebody like me that comes in that wants to tell him as an old white guy how to be a better dad. Uh-huh. How do you break down that wall?
I think that's an easy wall to break down.
Glad to hear that.
I don't think the wall to break down is about skin color. I think the wall to break down is about fatherhood. And the relating to each other is about, hey, when my baby was 3 months, she was still crying and I had to stay up all night. So it's those things that are familiar within being a father and not even around, you know, looking at the race, because dads are dads, right? And that's the thing that I love about fatherhood. It's this universal thing that any and everybody can be involved in and everybody can understand as a parent, especially if you are a parent. But even if you're not, you've either been impacted by your uncle, your brother, or somebody that you look at like a father figure, and you understand the importance of fatherhood.
Well, one of the things I really like about what you do is, and you addressed this a little bit, but this isn't just here's step 1, 2, 3, and 4 on how to be a better dad. You're teaching these young men how to be a man.
Correct. And so my thing was in developing the curriculum was before you can talk about fatherhood, you have to talk about manhood. What does it mean for you to be a man, right? And the importance of knowing yourself as a man before you're a father is very important, because how you see yourself as a man is how your child see you. And then when you know who you are as a man, then you can step into fatherhood and knock the ball out of the park.
You get into sex at all? Do you talk to these guys about, listen, you know, make one here, make one down the street, make one somewhere else? Because, you know, that happens way too often.
Right. So I would.
He just got uncomfortable.
Yeah. No, we're getting saluted
praise
from
my side.
Yeah. I would say, you know, it's always the way you get to a man's pocket is talking about his money. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you talk about the expense of having a child and what is it current? I mean, because you 17, 18 years old and you have one or two kids. You didn't grow up with great parents yourself, and you think what you're doing is right until you're challenged to just think about it for a second and to think about it financially. What does it really mean? Can you really afford this? And so men oftentimes, you know, think about the money. And so that's what we use in front. We don't really dig into the sex part because it's still laughter when you talk about sex. But when you talk about money, everybody faces
straight. Yeah, right. One takes care of the other.
That's right.
So here's what I got from my dad, tough World War II guy. Work ethic and strength.
All right.
Not a lot of hugs.
Okay.
Not a lot of I love yous. But he got up every day and he went to work, came back, he paid for the family.
All right.
And, you know, I wish we had been closer. It just wasn't in the cards. But I'd be lying if I said there weren't positive things I took from that relationship, because there are. There's a ton of them. What did you get from your dad?
Man, I learned a lot of things. I learned integrity. I learned, you know, failure. I've learned how to be a strong man. I've learned that, you know, even though you can make mistakes, you can still get back out here and do something better with your life. And so, you know, even for me and looking back on me and my father relationship and looking at where we are now and all of the things he taught me then, you know, as a kid, oftentimes you want the time. And what you don't understand is that your parent has to make money, right? And so it's one or the other. And for your father, it was money. And for my father, it was money. And I grew up the tough way, just like you, mm-hmm. except he wasn't a military guy. He was just a guy from the west side of Chicago. So, mm-hmm. You know, I took a lot of gems away. And I told my father this. I said, Dad, look, I can't say that you act like me. Because when I see him do things, I can't say he act like me. I act like him in the things that I do. So I took a lot from him.
Is your dad still around?
Yes. Yes.
Has he told you he's proud of you?
Of course, yes.
Well, that's not an of course. Just, I think that's important for people to hear.
Well, I will tell you this. Let me tell you an honest story. Friday, he reached out to me because I hit a major achievement with some stuff that I was working on and told me he was proud of me. And I said, you know, Dad, it feels good to hear that from you.
It's a big damn deal.
And I haven't heard that from him in quite a while. So to hear it, you know, it always make you run through walls when your parent, if your dad told you, man, hey, son, I love you. Keep doing the radio. You know, you'll run through walls.
There's no doubt. I don't care what sort of relationship you had and outside viewpoints of it. What your parents think of you matters.
Yes.
In a big, big way. And including, we see it so many times. We see kids that come from abused homes who still want that love and affection and attention and approval from their parents. So you're doing good stuff. Last words.
Last words. I know people are listening to you and, again, saying, what can we do? But I want you hit on something that's important, too. Money isn't everything. I know a lot of people are listening and thinking, well, I don't have the money or the resources to do this. And it just starts with the positive affirmation and making the decision to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to change my life and help my kids out.
That's correct. And so for us, you know, if you know, when we look at our organization, we give our young men bus cards to get back and forth. We feed them. So if people can donate, you know, gift cards, bus cards, they want to donate a van to the organization so that we can pick up more young men or anything like that, Pampers or wipes. You know, we're more, you know, because typically when you ask orgs, everybody say dollars. Sure. We all need dollars at all of our organizations. But the other reality of it is if you don't have the dollars, there are small things that you can buy.
Time and
that
stuff.
Can still impact the whole household. Right.
The CCA cards, that's a great idea.
Yeah, it is.
Bus,
easy to get to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What a great Chicago story. I mean, you know, people are always saying, you know, all these terrible things about our city, and you really just, I mean, you make us shine.
Yeah, well, I am thankful. And so oftentimes that's what I said, even when I was out there with CNN, is like, there are always bad stories told about our city, but there are so many great things that are going on, and there are more great people in our city who are impacting our young people and changing the world.
99% of the worst neighborhoods in Chicago are good people who want the same thing from the alleged best neighborhoods.
That's
in
correct.
Chicago.
That's correct.
They're literally around the country. It's 1% you're hearing about. You're not hearing about the 99.
That's right. That's
keep
right.
up the good work, man.
I
God
appreciate
bless
it.
You.
Thank you, WGN.
What's the website?
Thank you.
www.thedovetailproject.org.
The dovetailproject.org.
Yes.
Preach it. We're going to come back with the headlines in just a second, and I hope everybody can help any way you can help. Andrea's next. First this. The Who for Coach Q, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. Remember, it's not just a chicken place, it's a way of life. And the coach, Joel Quenneville, joins us now. Did you have a good All-Star break?
It was nice. It was nice. It was around Chicago all weekend, and kind of quiet, and watched a little bit of the game yesterday, and so it was all right.
What do you do to relax? Do you read? Do you make crank calls to other coaches? What do you do?
I like horse racing, so I watch a little bit of that.
Okay,
get involved. Yeah. So that's kind of some of it. Yeah,
I can't picture
watch a
you
lot of hockey.
I can't picture you in a recliner with your feet up. You got a recliner at the Q House?
No recliners.
No recliners. No.
Yeah.
You know why? You know what that's from? That's line changes. You can't make a fast line change if your feet are up.
No, you can't. You got to be on your feet all the time.
All right, so listen, an All-Star break could be exactly what you need, thinking Corey Crawford, a couple more days to get healthy, or a break in the momentum. Is it either?
I don't know, but it was. We went into the game playing two pretty good games, disappointing
right.
loss. Tampa Bay, good. Toronto, really liked their game, get a point, and then played a real solid game in Detroit. So a lot of positives coming out of that game. And you know, break or not, I think that the urgency and the way we played and just keep playing that type of way, we'll give ourselves a chance here. Hopefully that can give us some momentum, because we got to get on a roll here. And, you know, we got some conference games, divisional games, and so they're meaningful in a lot of ways. And, you know, we want to get ourselves back in that mix where all of a sudden we're not chasing so far and so many teams. We got to think right now is it's a very important trip for us.
Coach, I'm sure you were happy to see Alex DeBrinket and a nice little hat trick for him, his second of his career and second of this year. Rookies kind of go through these lulls every once in a while. They're not used to playing this many games, but does he look like he's back?
Well, he certainly was excellent in Detroit. Nice to see him do that in his hometown. That line was great. Johnny had a great game, and the Duke was really good as well. So it was a you know, they hadn't played together much, so it was a good sign. There's offense there. They had a puck. They were dangerous. They didn't give up much. So it's a you know, hopefully that line could be a really productive line for us and gives us some balance in our lineup. I like the way we rolled four lines that game, but there's finish with all three of those guys, and they have the puck a lot, and they're dangerous off the rush. The thing is, the reason why we probably scored more goals in that game than we had recently is we had a real good net presence, and sometimes it's tough on goalies.
What's the real Hawks team? Is it that team? Is it the 10-1 team we saw in the opener? Is it the 2-0 Tampa Bay team that's going to be in every game but needs a little puck luck? What's the real team?
That's kind of the way we've been over the last while here, and I think we'll say this year. The unpredictability in games, and then you have stretches where that same unpredictability, you're not going to win, and then you find ways to win other nights when you play like that, and then some nights everything comes together and you really enhance your chances. So it's a you know, I think putting it all together, where you got four lines all holding on to the puck, keeping the puck, playing the right way, very active D, solid in net. I mean, that's a complete team game and a power play that you keep the momentum in the game, and special teams always add up to add a little bit more to your team game. So that's what you need to win in our game today and in our division. So we're going to have to let's think that that's the real Hawk team.
Yeah, the guys need to understand that, because then Q goes home happy. And you know the old saying, happy Q, happy life. All right, Coach, I noticed you didn't mention Crawford after I mentioned Crawford. So to the best of our knowledge and your knowledge, when's he going to be back in the net?
Good question. He didn't take the ice this weekend like we were anticipating. So
kind of a day-to-day, maybe?
Well, it's day-to-day right now, but it's not, you know, until we get him on the ice, that's, you know, that's when we're going to know how close he really is. So right now it's a wait and see then on that one again. We're encouraged there last week, and then today we're, you know, have to wait.
All right. Well, more chances for Glass, and you know, let's get it done, boys. Let's get it done. And as you said, the time is now. Coach, I know you got to run. I appreciate you jumping on with us.
My pleasure.
See you, bud. That's Coach Joel Quenneville from your Chicago Blackhawks. When do they play?
They play tomorrow night in Nashville.
Brad Vasquez here, nightly 11P to 2A.
That's my intro music.
Joe's
Thank
good, isn't
you,
he?
Joe.
Isn't Joe good? Very impressive. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for having me this
nice
morning.
Nice to see you.
Yes.
Should we do a roundtable of plugs here?
Absolutely.
11P to 2A. What else do we want to plug?
I also want to plug that I'll be at Nick D's Movie Club next week in Rosemont at the AMC. We're gonna see Philadelphia Story.
Nice.
And he invited me to help him introduce it. And I'm nervous.
You're
for some reason.
Yeah.
I'm totally geeked out.
Was that because of your relationship with Jimmy Stewart? I think we all remember that. What a scandal.
It's because the free popcorn.
There's also that, and the free parking in a parking lot that you cannot get out of. But that's okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we'll leave a trail of breadcrumbs.
That's the comedy parking garage, isn't it?
It is for the Rosemont.
It's the weirdest thing. Have you been in that Rosemont parking garage?
Oh yeah, I've been to that theater. It's
fantastic.
But you go in.
But the parking garage has weird wall. It's like cul-de-sac.
It is
concrete.
Yeah, but
that's Pat McGann's joke about how no other parking garage has a cul-de-sac. Go ahead.
It is true. No, you have to look at the signs, because I got lost the first time. But if it says like follow this way for movie theater parking, just follow the sign.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
yes. No, it's wacky.
Well, then it's either like Bryn Mawr or some Balmoral, and I'm like, I don't remember which street that is.
You know what I want? Exit.
Exit.
Just exit.
Freedom. I think just a big sense.
And once I'm outside, I'll figure it out.
Freedom.
That's an awesome theater, though. That's where I saw Wonder Woman.
Another plug here. Mm-hmm. Andy Mazur Photo. Do you know Andy Mazur is a tremendous photographer?
He is an excellent photographer.
Have you seen the website? Thank you.
He's got a big fancy camera.
Have you seen the website?
Yeah, I have not. I almost lied. I almost lied.
AndyMazurPhoto.com. Really great, great stuff. AndyMazurPhoto.com. And he's available for you to have him on as a guest on great places to take pictures in the city.
Hey, yeah.
What am I, your agent? Look at me.
That's impressive, Steve.
I got my calendar right here, Andy.
All right.
Let's get you booked.
American Lung Association Fight for Air Climb with Dave Ennett, provided he still works here.
And my team, the Vasculators. Well, that's the name of my team, yes. I finally have...
Do you guys have competing teams?
Now we do. We've actually been competing teams for the last 3 years, but I've never come up with a name for my team, so I've just worn the Ennett to Win It shirt because we couldn't think of anything better.
Oh, so now you get competing teams, but both for WGN.
Yes.
Okay.
But we never really compete.
Oh, you do now.
I've always been a team captain, but it's always been Dave Ennett shirts, and I just okay, I guess I'll just wear his shirt.
The Vasculators. Here's how you get involved. You can sign up for Patty's team or Dave's team. I'm sure you'll
pick team.
Appropriately.
My team.
Go to WGNradio.com/events or go to fightforairclimb.org. And you've only got a couple of days left to maybe go with us to Vegas.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Am I going? Center.
We'll
call you.
Do you have a Blackhawks cave at your place?
Do I have a Blackhawks cave?
Yeah, like a man cave, Blackhawks.
I can make one. I'll be right back.
We're looking for the nuttiest Blackhawks fan. You are truly a Blackhawks fan. Send us a snapshot of him and prove it. Blackhawks and the Golden Knights, February 13th. You'll be there. You get tickets to the game. Obviously, we'll fly you up, put you up. You have to lose your own money. And upload a photo showing your Blackhawks fandom at WGNradio.com/contest. You know what I wanted to ask you about? We had a mom in last week with a daughter with Down syndrome. Really exceptional folks. And you and I have talked about this for years. Mm-hmm. I have a brother who's 3 years older than me. Mickey is a hero. And there's nothing I look forward to more than his 5 a.m. phone call when I'm, driving in, checking in. And he calls every day. But he heard the word retard in the 60s again and again and again, in the 70s again and again and again. There's a wide chasm of difference between the medical term mentally retarded and the insult retard.
And people keep wanting, when we have this conversation, I'm sorry, we're talking about the Netflix special that people want to have taken down. And I understand people don't want censorship. We do have the freedom to say whatever we want, but you also have people have the freedom to react in any way they want and to stand up and say, this is not acceptable. And if you replace, and I get that the R word and the N word are, I'm not equating them as meaning the same thing. No, but they don't mean the same thing.
No, of course not.
But the origins of both of them. Right. And they both have an origin in what previously had been used as a word, right? The N-word originates from the word for black, right? It goes back, and it became a word that is used to diminish, to marginalize a population and to be hurtful. And the R-word, yes, was previously something that we used medically, but we now know, and it has become to be used something that is just an adjective to be hurtful or to, I have a nephew who used it repeatedly over Christmas break, and I pulled him aside, and I said, I just want you to know, I'm not going to tell you what to say, but just keep in mind that that's a word that people use to diminish your cousin.
Right. And to bully.
And my son Griffin is beautiful. And sweet and patient with people in his class who say, I wish I'd brought this letter with some. I'll have to read it to you sometime, Steve. But Griffin wrote a very long letter to his classmate Ben about how this word was also spray painted on the side of my son Declan, who cannot speak. It was spray painted on the side of the school at Beard Elementary on the Northwest side next to swastikas. So if you do not think that the R word is not used to be painful, to be hurtful, to attack. Think of that. Think of a school for children with autism.
Listen, you're a better person than I am. I don't know how any functioning adult over the age of 18 doesn't understand that retard is wrong.
Right.
And by the way, the reason I keep saying the impact needs to be heard.
Right. And because people will go, what do you mean by the R word? Well, we have to get to the point where it's as equally shocking to say that as it is. You wouldn't say the N word and people would be up in arms if you did. And I know that when I refer to it that way, then I know it's already in people's minds. They know what I mean. It should have that much shame attached to it.
Right? Yeah. And how about you count your blessings that you're healthy and your family's healthy the same way special needs families count their blessings that they have that individual in their lives, the way I do. the way you do, whoever.
And I know that I come at stand-up comedy from a different place than many comics do, right? It's about the artistry. I also started out in comedy knowing that I didn't want someone to leave the show feeling as hurt, right? That I had used them as an excuse to make 200 other people laugh. And I assure you, the woman in Indiana and moms and dads across the country who see that, you know, all they wanted to do is relax and watch a Netflix and maybe have a glass of wine or, you know, it's the end of the day. They fight every single day for acceptance for their children, and for someone to fight for the, you know,
it's not about free speech.
That's a territory
it's
you want to
no. It's not about free it's speech. Bullying. It's about whether or not Tom Segura's special sells. Yeah. Well, and Netflix has enough money. Netflix needs to grow up and be a responsible company.
It's just a weird territory to want to stake out.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. What time are you on again?
I'm 11 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Yes, you are. What's the web or the social handle for
you? It's at Patty Vasquez, C-H-I, Patty with an I.
And the family we were mentioning is at Gigi's Playhouse, G-I-G-I-S, playhouse.org. I hope you check that out. Stick around for a sec. Bill and Wendy next. All right, Bill and Wendy are here. Patty is here as well. Guys, say hi to Patty.
Hello.
Patty, hi.
Patty,
hi.
Say hi to the guys.
Pleasure.
Yep.
Hi.
Oh, that was sorry. I don't need a microphone. Oh, there you go. I'm loud enough.
There you go. Just you and the bells.
Did you guys watch the Grammys?
No.
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 One of the Grammys.
That was great. Well, you're a music chick. How'd you not watch the Grammys?
Because that is not my music anymore. I don't know who anybody is except Jay-Z and the little cute guy, Bruno.
I saw Patti LuPone was apparently singing.
Yeah, you've been a big Patti LuPone fan for a long time.
Yeah.
Big fan.
I said that, though, too. It's when you get to the point of, like, who is this?
I know.
Then I think I'm getting old.
It's like a grandma watching it. That's
Patti LuPone
like.
Was funny, though, because she thought she was on Broadway, man, by the end of that boy. She went diva, hardcore.
Yeah. Did she?
Thank you.
Thank you. That's great.
Bring your love through applause. That's what we saw.
No Jerry Vail.
Mm-mm.
I'm out.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's your standard?
Yeah. Wow. Jerry Vail's not invited. I'm not going to watch.
You would have loved this moment. And what still, happened? It remains my favorite part of the evening in the comedy category, won by Dave Chappelle. Yeah. The losers got consolation puppies.
Puppies for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Puppies. Little tiny puppies.
Aww.
Much of the chagrin of PETA.
Oh, God.
Oh, well.
So ridiculous.
I know.
They shouldn't be used as a prop, Steve. Enough is enough.
What? You know what? Neither should I.
No, you shouldn't be.
Yes.
And yet, time and time again.
We're going to give you away
and
later.
Over. Hey, my eyes are up here.
Yep.
What are you guys doing today?
We're going to take a look back at last night's Grammy Awards, Steve.
Yes, we are.
All the ups, all the downs, the highlights, the lowlights.
Covering everything you didn't watch.
Everything we didn't see. We'll talk about it in great
Fantastic.
Detail.
Fantastic. I look forward to that. Yep. And we'll see you tomorrow. See ya, Patty. Bye-bye.
See ya, bye.